the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. Kenyan police say they've taken control of the Nairobi Mall, where terrorists staged a shooting rampage and took hostages on Saturday. They say they've contained the fire and detained 10 people for questioning in the attack that's left 62 dead and 175. ABC News White House correspondent Jonathan Carl says President is security team for monitoring.
This is deemed here at the White House as more than a Kenyan threat. It's a reminder of the ongoing terrorist threat, and the fear here is that terrorist group, Al-Shabaab, could target next time U.S. interests, whether they're here, that may be a remote possibility right now, or abroad.
Prosecutors and defense attorneys say begin the process of making life or death decisions in the courtroom in the case of American bombing.
Between now and Halloween, U.S. Attorney Carmen Ortiz, the top federal prosecutor in Boston, will make her recommendation about whether she'll heart or not to face death. Attorney General Eric Holder has final say in his decision. Texas Honor report January 21st. Sarnaya is accused of killing 3 people and wounding more than 250 others by sending bombs, fashion, pressure cookers, near the first on a marathon. Acts made the mayor of Boston reconsider long-standing opposition to him.
Talking about a possible run with speaking comments,
in an interview with New York Magazine, asked whether she wrestles with whether to run for president, she says, I do, but I'm both pragmatic and realistic. I will just take it away with the factors are that would influence me making a decision one way or
the other. I've lost confidence in Apple lately. But more than 9 million
going back to the My Veggie thing, you cost me a lot of misery, and all total, $2,700 in doggy fees, and it all it took was one container of Dynavite. 2 pounds, 3 ounces, and my dog has been cured. Abby's a 5-year-old silky terrier. She has, like, chicken pox on her belly, clusters of pumps on her back, and she was allergic to, like, 70 a month. Hey, to a dermatologist, and, oh, yeah, she keeps giving her needles every 10 days. But she's not clearing up. And then it came up on my radio, Dynavite. I give her the Dynavite after 5 weeks. And one morning there was something there, and I'm like, oh my God, she's all clear. There wasn't one blemish on her body. Her is beautiful. She is really happy. She is healthy, bump-free, pimple-free, shiny, silky. Turned our lives around. So thank you very much for Dynavite. I couldn't be happier. Dynavite's the bomb.
859-428-1000.
Bosch is the quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S. Now, Bosch dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives you 30% more capacity compared to Bosch two-rack models. Get yours at your local Bosch retailer today.
Ohio, with so many options.
Don't take me to consider any other brand. The drive-on-off is fail. Go on, sweetie, jump to death.
There are moments in life that cause us death.
Jump right here.
Okay, here I come.
I got you. Good job.
Oh, that was fun.
I want to take action. If you're thinking about selling your home, don't hesitate. Interest rates are low and buyers are in the market. Every market's different. Call a Realtor today at visitrealtor.com. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
More people coming out attacking the business party, right? I'm starting to say, you know what? Democrats, bring it on. I want more hate. I want to see more hate coming from the left. Why?
I want the Democrats to continue to show their true colors.
You suck.
You see the nation is straight away, but now we're coming back to you, Paul.
WSOS. You want your morning cup of coffee to come with the latest local and national news, tunes, news talk, WFOM. Every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. All the news when you need it. And Youngstown's Best Talk, News Talk 600. boundaries of
in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600-WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
And good afternoon, everybody. Did you guys make sure your mics are working over there? Because you know how Tracy doesn't like us to sit way back from the mic and talk like this, you know.
Because we can't hear you.
It really bothers. You can hear.
You what?
You can hear just fine.
Who? What? Yeah. You've got the high dollar mic. That's right.
I got the good mic.
You got the good mic.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I can't hear
turn
you
Turn it on first. Did you turn your switch on?
Yeah.
There you go. That's wonderful.
We're here now.
Good afternoon. This is Afternoon with Tracy and Friends, and we're in a testosterone-filled room here today, and that means nothing but fun for everybody. So.
You mean we don't have to wear our helmets to work?
No helmets and no
safety,
boots.
Our safety helmets, we don't
That's
have to wear.
That's right. No helmets, no boots.
No crash helmets,
That's
no
right.
safety glasses.
Nothing will get thrown today. We'll be fine. The numbers here are 330-781-9600 or 1-347-945-5229. And we're here to talk about whatever is on your mind and let you hear a little bit what's on our mind. And we are just hanging in here from the weekend. How was your weekend, gentlemen?
Wonderful, wonderful.
I actually think I may be liking NASCAR.
Oh, well, wow, why?
Yeah, because what about those Bears?
Well, no, I mean, well, yeah, it's just similar to that. I got to see the Pittsburgh Steelers run around in circles. I figured I might as well watch the cars do.
Well, my wife and I went down to Kentucky this weekend. They had an ARCA series race, and they also had a Nationwide series race.
Mm-hmm.
And for you guys local, Dave Blaney's kid, you know, his grandparents own Sharon Speedway, is going to be a real up-and-comer. He took the 22 car this weekend, and he spanked all over the regular series drivers.
Now,
I mean, it was just amazing.
No question. And I'm totally ignorant when it comes to that sport. But how much of it is the driver and how much of it is the car?
It's about 50-50. Believe it or not, there is a lot of strategy to NASCAR, too. A lot of when you pit, how many tires you take. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. And I've told you guys this before. If you don't understand a sport, it's no fun to watch. I hate watching football because I never played it as a child, and I don't understand it. But I understand what's going on with NASCAR. So, you know, and I'm sure it's the same with you guys if you go to a NASCAR race. It just looks like a bunch of people running in a circle, and it's not if you understand what's going on behind the scenes, so to speak.
Well, like I said, I saw the Pittsburgh Steelers running circles this weekend, so, I mean, I really think NASCAR is going to be my next favorite sport.
Did anybody else feel like this to me that Big Ben looked like one of those moving trees on the Wizard of Oz.
I'll tell you what.
He was like stiff as he could be. I'd never seen him that stiff.
Actually, I think he looked more like the punching bag in the boxing arena.
Well, he got hit now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he got hit.
I mean,
I really felt bad for them, you know, because, you know, once you've been a winner for a long time.
Yeah, you don't know how to lose.
You don't know how to lose good.
You don't know how to lose good.
Yeah.
And honestly, I mean, they just... Oh, they look like the Cleveland Browns of last year or last week
when they
lost themselves.
Was it you that put the Facebook post up that said when are the Cleveland Browns going to get their jerseys back and the Steelers are going to get the Browns jerseys back?
Yeah, that was me. I think that like tweeted number 10 in hashtags last night. I mean I think a lot of people were wondering. But no, you got to give the Browns did something that they have not done in maybe 20 years.
What's that?
Come back and won?
No, last minute? No. That's not
true. Usually they come back and beat themselves.
No, I mean, yeah, that's true. But really, no, what you're saying is not true. They come back from quite a few games and won. But the thing is if they can't do it. They have never been able to do it in the fourth quarter.
Usually, when
they win, they've already had the points put on the board by the middle of the third quarter.
Right, then they're just playing for their lives.
Yeah, they're just holding on for dear life, right?
Yeah, no, I really got to give them credit. They really look good. It was fun to watch them. And you know, they're looking really, really smart now by trading Trent Richardson away.
They sure
are. Which I thought that was the bonehead move. I mean, most people in Cleveland thought it was the bonehead move. You know, it looked like they were giving up on their season already. I mean, he's a heck of a good back, and he's gone
he
now.
He did some good stuff, but Jim Brown made the comment and said, Trent Richardson is a nominal back. And I said, if Jim Brown said that, then I understand.
Yeah.
You know, why they were doing it. Because he never made no real big moves. You just know he'd break for 2-3 yards, this, that, another. You need somebody that can really
pound the ball.
Pound the ball, and plus, but can be so swift on his feet that he can jump.
Like Jerome Bettis was.
Yeah.
Yeah. That those backs are hard to find anymore.
Yeah, these are Bettis, but you see some. Cincinnati has a heck of a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I picked them. Remember from the beginning of the season, I said they're going to take it this year. Not the Super Bowl, but they're going to win the division. They may get to the AFC Championship game. I'd like to see them in the Super Bowl. It'd be nice if our division, you know, the Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Baltimore, Cincinnati division, kept on winning the Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pittsburgh won a couple. You know, Baltimore was in there. They won a couple now, and it'd be nice to get Cincinnati in there. And, well, I think Cleveland has never been to a Super Bowl, but you never know. Stranger things have happened, right?
They've been to the Super Bowl many times. I've seen the tickets.
Yes, but then you wake up, Jeff.
No, I said I've seen the tickets. you're not getting the joke, man.
No, I'm not. That won't be worth it.
You had to buy a ticket to go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Oh, I can't. You know,
that's a boo.
I can't do
that. That's a boo. Boo. Yeah, that's a bad joke there.
It was a good joke. You just didn't get it. That's what we're booing.
We also got something good going in Sprint Cup this year. For the same guy has won. There's 10 playoff races.
Mm-hmm.
The Chase. You've heard about the Chase, right?
Yeah, I thought
they take the top 13 drivers, and the last 10 races of the year decide the championship. Basically, it's a playoff system.
Mm-hmm.
Last two races, the first two in the playoffs, if you want to call them playoffs. First and second place were won by the same two drivers, and they come from the same racing team, Joe Gibbs Racing.
Hmm.
Does that name sound familiar to you?
Yeah, because he used to coach the Washington I can't say Redskins, can I? Without offending
say
somebody.
Say Redskins, we don't care here. You know that. We're not even trying to find that.
Think about this, though. If they make them change their name, what are they going to do with the potatoes?
Oh, jeez.
I mean, the Redskin potato, what are they going to do to them? They'll probably skin them and eat them alive.
<Ba-ba-bum>.
Where are you at today?
We're free, man.
No. You know what else is coming up? You know, they have sweeps weeks. And you know how they have it in radio. Well, they got it in television, too.
Mm-hmm.
And all these new shows are coming out, and they've, you know, like Survivor, the new episode of that, a lot of new reality coming out, and a lot of new drama shows. But there's one coming on tonight that I am really, really interested in. It's called Hostages. Have you guys seen that?
I saw the trailers.
Yeah.
Promos. That looks really interesting.
Yeah, it does.
Is that what they're doing over in Nairobi right now?
No. No,
I'm being facetious.
Well, you know, it is like true life drama. It is scary, but they capture the family of the surgeon who's going to operate on the president. That's what I got from the call tags, you know, or from the commercial so far. Is that what you got, Sticks?
Mm-hmm.
And she either has to save her family by killing the president. You know, the only thing I'm thinking about that is why couldn't they should have made that reality. I would have signed up for that.
Oh, here we go.
Put me on that show.
Oh,
I mean, come on. I bet you there's like 1,000 people trying to sign up for that thinking it's reality shows. Oh. What are you doing over there, Jeff?
Trying to get my pad working.
Oh,
yeah. Pad. Wait a minute. You're old enough. Your pad's supposed to be where you sleep at night.
It doesn't fit.
And what's your wife got to say about that, by the way, when you're bad to start working?
Not a thing. Not a thing. She put me in a different bedroom. You old geezer, get out of here.
Oh, man.
I guess he's not the only one that has problems with WikiLeaks.
Does your WikiLeak? Here, call on this. Depends. You need Depends.
Is it WikiLeaks or WinkyLeaks?
It's either one.
Even my Wiki or my Winky, they leak. There's trouble.
Trouble.
Oh,
man. You guys are crazy today, man. What's going on? Anyway, what else is new, man, out here? This is, did you see our favorite Democratic Party chair go ballistic over the weekend?
No, I missed that. What's that all about?
Well, here, ladies and gentlemen, I know you are hearing us.
I heard something. He said he's not going to support somewhere. He blew up out his own party members. For not supporting. Yeah.
Just three of them.
Yeah. Well,
they just happen to be black ones that are supporting a black candidate instead of their candidate.
Well.
Now, here's the thing.
I mean, you're allowed to have that within your party.
You're allowed to. Look.
That's what primaries are for.
Exactly.
Well, here's the thing. They went in a primary here and they endorsed in the mayoral race, okay?
Uh-huh.
I don't think they endorsed in every race, but they endorsed in the mayoral race, which had two or three black cutters in it. That I don't know why it is that these I think the prejudiced Republicans are having an effect on the local Democrats, because what I see right now
Uh-oh.
Is...
You playing the race card?
No, not at all. Think about it.
Wow.
Think about it. Look at what you're getting. Here it is, a couple of them that have position in the party, did not support the endorsed candidate. The endorsed candidate possibly could be indicted again. Okay, now, it's not assured or anything like that. Both of these guys are my friends, so I don't want to say anything. Well, I'm just saying, I don't want to say anything negative about them. I don't want that to be.
I mean, why would you want anybody even suspicious of a crime running your government?
Well, because he might be innocent.
Well, once he's proven innocent, then I've got no problem with it.
Well, but I'm saying, but the election is now, so something has to be done, and they're not going to sentence the.
So have him run next time.
The snitch. Well, that next time is a long time.
What?
There's a lot at stake in the next time. So, I mean, so I'm not against what's going on. I'm saying that Mr. Beatrice, he was so angry with them that he removed them from their positions on the Central Committee.
Wow.
And I'm saying, here you have two African-American Democrats that were supporting a guy who has always been a Democrat but knew he could not win in a primary situation, that you put three or four cutters in to make sure that a black person could not win that race. That's what they do. I mean, they do it, and they do it all the time here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they did it when Jay Williams ran, except Jay Williams was just such a better candidate that everybody recognized it, and they went with the people.
Plus the Republicans supported him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Jay Williams is now in the president's cabinet.
You know, us racist Republicans, we supported Jay Williams.
Yeah, we supported another guy by the name of Sylvester Patton, an African-American state rep here. And but my thing is when we support certain candidates, our party chair doesn't come, and our Republican Party chair doesn't say, hey, you better not support somebody else in this, that, and the other at this time. Hey, we're going to throw you off.
Well, it's because our party chairman, the former one and the present one now, of the Republican Party, understands democracy.
Are pragmatic as well.
Yes.
They get practical. What
Dave Beatrice is doing is very socialistic, communistic.
Hate to say, but
isn't that what the Democrat Party is, socialists and communists?
Yeah, for the most part.
Oh, I'm for the most part in my
thing. Yeah, I mean, that's what they support. Yeah,
that's what progressives are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we supported. I'm going to finish one other thing I'm going to say about this, too. Because I'm just wondering why things are a certain way out here. because there also was a judgeship that Judge Robert Douglas, who was an African-American judge. Now, answer me this one. When he was appointed to his position, he was appointed by a Republican governor.
And he was what color?
He was African-American. So
and
now.
And he was, are you sure it was a Republican?
Absolutely. George Voinovich appointed
Judge
Robert Douglas.
Because you told me all Republicans were racist.
And he served with distinction. He served with excellency. So now, when it came time for there to fill his position, immediately the party chair and one of the states, is a state senator or a state rep, your favorite state rep, Bob Hagan.
Bob, yeah, the one you mentioned.
Yeah.
That.
But anyway, let's finish this on the other side of these news. We're going to pay some bills. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staple's Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
If it comes up, it goes out. Live weekdays from noon to 3. Listen to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that covers the valley issues that matter to you, plus global topics and news of the day. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
You're listening to the new home for the Sean Hannity Radio Show, News Talk 600 WSOM.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
Liberals were dominant in the House and Senate and remained so until 1994. Conservatism seemed like a lost movement. Reagan didn't give up. Reagan didn't turn on America. He made the case, came up with an agenda, and met the needs of his time. He won people over.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600.
Provocative, passionate, award-winning. It's the Valley's new home for Sean Hannity.
right here on Newstalk 600 WSOM. We're back with Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And we're back once again, afternoon with Tracy and Friends. The number here is 330-781-9600. It's Jeff, Ben, and Sticks in the air chair today. We're hanging out, having fun. And we just want to know, what you feeling, what you think about things, and, get involved in this process. But I'm talking locally here in Youngstown for right now. And the reason why is because I have a lot of my friends local here. Some of them here listen to us, some of them don't. But they're always talking about how these prejudiced Republicans are. And that they're racist and they hate us and this, that, and it's not true. Of course, there are some people in the Republican Party that are racist, like there are people in the Democrat Party that are racist. You cannot get around that. Nobody's trying to. And not only that, I can still support somebody in my party that may be racist. Because if I like the policies he's going to do, that's going to be good for my life. See, I don't care whether you like me. You don't have to like me, okay? A lot of people don't like me. Democrats don't like me, so what the heck can I do around here? What? So the thing is I don't have to. If there's somebody that's racist or prejudiced, I know it.
No, but I couldn't support somebody who was prejudiced and racist. Well, prejudiced, yeah, because
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, you could because you don't know
who they are. Yeah, yeah, but once I found out, I mean, prejudice.
Everybody's prejudiced.
Yeah,
it's one thing or another.
We're talking about engaging in keeping somebody from one thing or another.
Right.
I mean, I'm prejudiced against some ideologies, but not against the people themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like communists, but it's not because of their race.
Right.
What I mean?
I don't like progressives either.
Progressives, but it's not because of their race or religion or their lack of religion.
But here it is.
But if you've got somebody coming out saying, listen, I don't like yellow people, I don't like black people,
right?
That I can't support that.
Now, I was at a fundraiser a few months ago for the mayor's race in Youngstown, given by a prominent Republican who sometimes sits in here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mr. Beatrice was at that fundraiser. So what was he doing at that fundraiser if this is so bad? Okay, I want to know. I want to know. Now, I'm not attacking you, Mr. Beatrice, and you can give us a call here, 330-781-9600, if you want to explain to me why if somebody decides that they're not going to support one candidate at one time in one race, that they're not good enough to serve in the party that they've been faithful to for years and years and years and years. They're not allowed to go to the left or to the right one way or another after all so many years. The judgeship, when Judge Douglas retired, it had one more year on the records till it was going to just dissolve by itself. You don't have to refill that judgeship if you want to get rid of it. The Republicans had to fill that space just like they did when Mr. Douglas, Judge Douglas, was appointed. Guess what? The number one candidate to replace Judge Douglas was a black female lawyer, one who I've known since she was a child because her father was a pastor and grew up, the church that my grandparents, grew up in, mm-hmm. or raised my family in, I should say. So now, why is that such a terrible thing? That why would they do that? Why wouldn't they let that girl get the experience of being a judge for so many weeks, so that then your diversity could really show in your party? And then when a judgeship comes open that she's qualified for it, you could put her in it.
Well, you know, for me, you know, follow the money trail. Well, that's got to be the reason why.
No, so, it's not. It's not having nothing to do with money.
If it's not for being a racist, okay?
Guarantee you it had to do with race more than that. Because they tell tell black Democrats they cannot win in the county here in Mahoning County. Okay, but look at Tracy's.
Yeah. Yeah, she got more votes. She got more votes in Beloit than she did in the city.
Thank you.
Yes. You know, the funny thing is that if the African Americans in this county became Republicans, they'd rule the party.
Yep.
There would be hardly any white people in it because they're you know what I mean. Republicans are so sparse around here.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there are not very many in this in a state that pretty much trans Republican. But the problem is this. You have a lot of people, and this is what the Democrats have tapped into statewide. When the state swept Democrat a few years ago, two Democrats did not win.
Those are the black ones.
Yes, those are the black ones.
Yeah.
I wonder why that is. When the it must have been those prejudiced Republicans' fault then, huh? Did they go out there and hold Democrats? Oh, don't vote for that one. Hmm. Is that what they did? Stick, do you know anybody did that down your way?
No.
Ben, I don't know.
I didn't see anything like that.
I neither did I.
Yeah.
And I was at a lot of different places that day. So.
Maybe when the Democrats printed out their forms that they hand people to go into the voting, maybe they forgot those two people.
No, maybe they just put on the next colored.
Nah.
Wait a minute. Wait.
That's a boo. Get a boo. Boo. Is that even a term anymore?
What, boo?
No, colored.
Of course it is, but it's not used. I colored the picture in the paper.
Oh.
Yeah, of course it is.
Because we used to color Easter eggs. I remember that, but... I don't know if that's a good term to use anymore. It's one of those things we can't say.
There's so many things we can't say.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, well.
Who cares anymore? But I just wanted to bring that up. I'm hoping that, you know, that there's some local people that are paying attention to that one and realizing that, you know, that racism is racism. I don't care where it's at. It's detestable.
But you know what they're going to say? They're going to say, no, my party can't be racist because we put the first black man, Bill Clinton, in the White House.
Bill Clinton was very racist if you listen to the stories out of Arkansas.
What he said about Obama was pretty striking.
Oh, of course it was.
Then again, what...
you know, I'm sorry. I still don't know because I can see somebody saying that with Barack Obama's background and how fast he had come up, I can see a senior guy in a shop saying to another senior guy in a shop about a white guy, something like that. You know, he'd have been punking our tools 3 months ago. What's he doing being a foreman? I can see that statement being made. And I don't know Bill Clinton personally. I don't know what his attitudes are, but I can see two older men making that statement about a younger man. One older man making a statement to a younger man about that.
Then you got Jesse Jackson saying what he said about Obama.
He wanted to make him an it.
You know what I mean? I mean, that speaks volumes for you. You've got, I don't know, I mean, Jesse Jackson, I don't know if he is the voice of African-American America right now, or whoever was, but when he said that about Obama, I was kind of taken aback by that. I couldn't believe it. Why would he be saying that about Obama?
Good reason.
That question was never asked to Jesse Jackson. Why? What is it about this candidate? Because he was a candidate at the time. Offends you? You don't like about him? What is it?
He didn't need Jesse Jackson.
Oh, so you're saying that until Jesse Jackson paid him or was paid?
Notice that it was Al Sharpton who got Barack Obama's re-election.
Well, this is the first election.
I'm saying, but notice that it was not
Jesse Jackson. You don't hear of him anymore.
You don't hear of him
anymore. In fact, his son got in trouble, from what I understand now.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but
and you have to wonder how much of that was orchestrated by the current administration.
Well, I don't know, but the thing is it very well could have been, and you have to understand that's who this guy is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what he did in Chicago to his people that helped him. So what is he going to do if he can get away with it to somebody who's against him?
Yeah.
You have to understand
yeah.
that they're not playing. They play this for thing. Bill Clinton said it because he used racial epithets each time. It was black people that were porters. It were black people that were servers. He's not talking about a regular position inside the plant somewhere. He said a few years ago he would have been carrying our luggage.
One. No, I thought I was getting his coffee.
Number two. A few years ago, he would have been getting us our coffee. He said both of them. Not
okay,
one.
I only knew about the one.
No.
Okay. Well,
both.
There's
both.
A big difference between carrying luggage and getting coffee.
Well,
huge difference.
I'm gonna say, not in those circles, because in political circles, if you're carrying luggage, most likely you're black or Hispanic. Guarantee you. Okay, and so when you're talking about the elite, because that's what they do, they put in servitude those that they think that they're better than. That's what that's all about. So it's a terrible thing. But my thing is this: I'm going to watch these situations, and I'd like to see some people in the community comment, if you can, about what went on with the Democrat Party situation during the debate for mayor in Youngstown. So we open the floor to that. We're also reading a story about how black children in Ohio are way behind white children when it comes to taking the standardized test. 87% of white children pass the standardized test. 67% of black children pass those same tests.
I'd like to break that down a little bit more.
Okay, go ahead.
I want to see demographic regions for that test too.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see if the inner city schools
right.
and the you know,
absolutely
white versus black in the inner city schools and white scores versus black scores and Hispanic scores in these suburbs.
Right.
I would like to know that.
Yeah, I'd like to see that too. Even
that's a good thought.
Yeah, because I'm almost betting that's Democratic controlled areas that are worse. Yeah.
Well, even I'd like to see it, because I know that the black children that I went to school with, though there weren't many, were actually doing better on their grade cards than I was.
Understood.
In our school district where I went. So I want to know, there's got to be other factors there.
Other factors, there always are, and they are socioeconomic. My daughter, straight A
mm-hmm.
student, okay? I didn't allow her to bring home other than that. Now, she was learning some things that I can't do.
Yes, been there, done that.
So my thing is how did we make that happen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, the math that they have is different than when her mother and I were in school. And, you know, those things are all, you know, those are hard to keep up with.
Our daughter was an engineering major. Daddy, help me with my calculus.
You got jokes, baby.
I would have said sure and hand her over my calculator. She goes, well, all the help you need, honey.
I don't know. I knew I was in trouble when that calculator had a manual that looked like the Encyclopedia Britannica.
That's what I'm talking about. Just to learn how to use a calculator. Okay, yeah, you're gonna use a. Got to have instructions on the calculator. My God, that's what's going on. But she got through it, didn't she?
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah. And see, the thing is you have created this state of keeping people ignorant till they don't even know how to help their children.
Well, I saw something this weekend, and the more I thought about it, the more it bothers me. I forget what state it was. They want to make everybody who gets food stamps do community service, which on the surface sounds like a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a certain segment of this population that needs motivated. And if you create a system where once you graduate or quit high school, you go down to the corner to the office and you sign up and they let you pick up trash 20, 30 hours a week and they give you just enough money to survive, you have just created a permanent menial underclass in the United States of America.
Absolutely.
And that scares me.
Okay, but you create a whole different society. Afternoon, Tracy and friends. We'll be right back after this.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. It's still unclear why exactly the superintendent of the Mahoning County Board of Mental Retardation and Developmental Disabilities was suspended. It happened Thursday. The board placed Larry Duck on administrative leave. The board's attorney, Chris Samarone, says the action was taken, quote, regarding a matter that is being referred to the Ohio Ethics Commission. Girard police are asking anyone who's had contact with the Girard funeral home to contact them. Prosecutors are working on the case with police. The funeral home's license was recently suspended after the business allegedly stole thousands from clients. And a firefighter was hurt while fighting a fire Saturday night in a vacant house on Hillman Street in Youngstown. Apparently, his injury isn't serious. He stepped on an uncovered air duct and hurt his hip and leg. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Looking for the right car at the right price? Come on out to the Stadium GM Used Car Superstore in Salem. There's over 300 unbeatable deals like a 2013 GM-certified Chevy Impala from only $239 a month, and that's with zero down. Plus, we've even got 0% financing. That could save you thousands. Right now, our super lot has back-to-school specials from $119 a month, trucks and SUVs from $149 a month, and plenty of financing for everyone. All at the store that has just what you're looking for, the Stadium GM Used Car Superstore in Salem. 3.9% times 78 months plus tax. I don't.
If you love the food and the homemade traditions of the Amish community, then the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman is something you need to know about. From fresh baked breads and pies, fresh fruit and produce, to Amish made furniture and gifts. The Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman, right next to the Georgetown. Visit us online at thevalleymarketplace.com. Open Thursday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, 9 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to 4. Shop early on Saturday till 10 p.m. and take 5% off select foods and items.
Have unfiled tax returns or owe the IRS or state more than $10,000? If you don't take action now, your tax problem is only going to get worse. Seizure of property, bank levies, wage garnishments, and potential criminal prosecution. Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield for help at 1-800-334-5070. Our tax advisors will review your case for free, inform you of your rights, and give you a guaranteed quote. And we have an A-plus rating with the BBB. So get protected. Call U.S. Tax Shield now at 1-800-334-5070.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years experience in the business, our expert staff work slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold grind. Interest is up and the stock market down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. drink our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do.
Afternoon, Tracy and friends. This is Hank Williams Jr., probably one of the greatest musicians I ever saw in concert. And Styx, that's by way of Mr. Styx here.
That's the theme song.
I thought we should have started the conversation with you know, like a Yelp or a, what do they call those? Southern yells?
Rebel Yell.
Rebel Yell, yeah, something like that.
Rebel Yell?
Yeah, with that kind of
no,
song.
No, I'm not ready for that one, man.
According to Jeff Foxworthy, that's the official redneck sound. That means I got a beer in one hand and a spit cup in the other.
Yeah.
So I can't clap right now.
Chawing that tobacco. 330-507, you are in the air. What's going on?
Jeff.
Yes.
You wanted to know what was going on locally in education.
What's up? Is this the griot, Mr. Jimmy McWilson?
Yep.
All right. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
Talk about it. Tell me something about it, because I saw the article, and then I got a call on the article, and then I'm looking at this report that the man had, and I don't see, like Ben asked for a little earlier. He asked for a little breakdown on why there's a disparity in the black children versus white children taking the standardized test. So you are very well rounded on this, sir, educated on this. So go ahead, speak.
Well, part of this is a matter of history. So you'd first have to know the history of the United States. If you're looking nationwide, you'd have to know the history of Ohio. If you're looking statewide, you'd have to know the history of Youngstown if you're looking locally. All those histories are integrated, but if you want to just stay with the state of Ohio, which that article was about, you'd have to go back to the Northwest Territory, which came out of the compromise when the United States was first started. The Northwest Territory Act was set up to carve out a series of states, of which Ohio was the first. It received its constitution on the Article 6 of the Northwest Ordinance, which was supposed to make it a free state. It received its constitution in 1803. It was supposed to be a free state for any of the Africans who got out of slavery. George Thomas Jefferson, being a member of the slaveocracy, made a deal with Congress that he would sign off on that particular Article 6, but made a deal with Ohio. And when they got their constitution, it was signed off on in 1803 in an all-white male legislative body. It immediately, in 1804, became up south. It passed black codes in 1804 and 1807, subjugating all African people in the state of Ohio into subserviency in all things educational, economic, and in social status. In other words, if you were going to work in the state of Ohio after 1804, you had to have a white man give a bond of $500 verifying that you were a good person. You could not engage in education. So all that started after Ohio became a free state in 1804. Those are codes, supposedly used to be Southern codes, but Ohio became up south in 1804 once those initial codes were legislatively put in place. So if you read those particular codes, but if you jump into the ratification of the 14th Amendment, which nullifies Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution, which made black people three-fifths of a person for the purposes of apportionment in 1868, Ohio jumped out front in 1867 and ratified the 14th Amendment. However, 1 year later, in 1868, Ohio de-ratified the 14th Amendment because it said that black people were not equal to white people. That's a matter of record. That was a legislative move. And in the process, for 135 years, you can check this out by Googling C-SPAN, the 14th Amendment in Ohio. For 135 years, black people were not citizens in the state of Ohio until it was re-ratified as the last state in the Union in 2003, 10 years ago. So for 135 years, African-descended people in the state of Ohio were not citizens of the state of Ohio. So all the structural institutionalized racism took place during that period of time in education, economics, and social status. So that's where the beginning of this began in all the institutions, educational, economics, and social status. So that's how they got behind. Now it's a matter of
They started out behind more or less.
That's why I'm trying to get the historical structure. So people are now trying to, quote, catch up. You can't catch up in that short a period of time. They did have, from 1868, federal protection, but you can't get the federal government to infuse itself into the state because people want to maintain their, quote, state's rights. And so people have this conflict that you don't want states' rights taken away, and yet at the same time you don't want the feds to interfere. And education is a, quote, state institution. 90 to 95% of the money comes controlled by the state legislature, and that's how that works.
Is this a historical statistic, though, Jim, is what I'm trying to say?
Say, back in the 30s and 40s,
it was still the same?
At no point, and I want to make this perfectly clear for all your listeners, at no point, at no time, has it been the intent of the state of Ohio to educate anyone except the white populace at the level they're being educated, period. End of story.
Well,
there is no history. There is no data that would support anything different. So now they're trying to change that.
Very, very well for that. But in other words, this is what I'm trying to say is, once again, these statistics that we see have always been that way. Not educating the black man was one of the main codes of the black codes. Because they said, they said we're going to allow them to be educated, but they'll never learn as much as a white man.
Absolutely.
That was a literal written code in a book.
That was part of the Constitution of the state of Ohio.
It's always been that way. It's always been carried out that way. It's always been institutional. People should not get emotional about it. It's been carried out. There have been black accommodationists who have gone along with the white supremacists in power. Now, separate two things. There are three things one should separate. People should separate white supremacists from white people.
Right.
There are white people who are white supremacists. Those are two different things. Those are two different animals. And people should understand that. White supremacists set up the system through which white people who are born into white privilege operate. But all white people are not white supremacists. They operate in the system, and they have white skin privilege. But there are white people who are as ignorant of what I just said as there are black people who are as ignorant of what I just said.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who have PhDs that went through 19 years of school and have no idea that you can go to C-SPAN and Google C-SPAN, 14th Amendment, and Ohio and watch C-SPAN and the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the state of Ohio, Governor Taft, and the legislature doing something that a lot of them did not know had not been redone, and three students who were law students and their professor found the fact that it hadn't been done, and the Senator Mallory, who was had been the mayor of Ohio, it was brought to his attention, and he had to get a Republican, Gates, who was his counterpart
to co-sponsor a bill to get it ratified. You see, a lot of them grew up thinking it was already done when it had not been done, because the people who put it in place were insidiously, with malice aforethought, put it in place and then hid it from the people who may be good, just good people going about their business. That's how insidious white supremacy is.
Yeah, well, Gemma, you actually educated me to that fact, and I have looked it up, and I was really astonished that it took till what, 2003, 2004, to change that.
Yeah,
I mean,
but you see a lot of
that's unbelievable. There should have been an outcry.
The problem is that's why we have to have these cogent conversations, and then what we have to do is we have to correct it, and then what we have to do is get people who are white supremacists. We have to take those people and the good people who believe in egalitarian justice for everyone. Those are the people who have to make the change, whether they're black or white or Republican or Democrat or Presbyterian or Catholic. Those are the people who believe in egalitarian justice for all. Those are the people who have to take the front line.
Yes.
Since I'm the new guy in the room, explain to me how the state legislature approved a constitutional amendment and then a year later said, "Nah, we was just kidding, we're out." I don't know how that works. I thought once they approved it, it was part of the Constitution and all the states had to abide by it.
Because under states' rights, the state legislature has the right. You have to have is the votes. In 1867, they had the votes to ratify. In 1868, when the new party came into power, they had the power to de-ratify.
And they wanted to keep it.
This will make Jeff happy. The people who had the ratification right in 1867 were led by Republicans in their group, and the people in power in 1868 were the Democrats. You make that, Jeff, make you happy. There you go, Jeff.
It doesn't make me happy because my thing is.
I'm just kidding you, Jeff.
Here it is, Gemma, and we're going to get interrupted by the news here in a couple of minutes. We have a political system that is dead set on making one set of people the devil, but then when you get something happen like what happened here locally, a couple people out of the Democrat Party that didn't want to support the endorsed candidate, but they wanted to support.
I understand what you're saying. People have to understand is you cannot be so party oriented that you forget the objective. The results should be what's good for the people, good for the country. And if you're not what's good for the people, is good for the country, you've got to not worry about the party label. And I think with me, it's what's good for the children. And I think finally, with this new report card, people are finally getting a look at the fact that even in a school that is rated, quote, excellence, they're finding on this new report card, you're not taking care of all the children. And this new report card is pointing out that everybody has got to improve where you need to improve. And the reason why, you know, we just, Jeff and I'll email you this letter, that 6-7 page letter that just went to Governor Kasich's appointee, state superintendent, that we gave him this elongated history. He used to be superintendent over in Reynoldsburg, and he was the superintendent of an excellent school district for many years.
Absolutely. Right.
And we're saying to him, look, you cannot spend $500 million in Youngstown with an academic commission and earn 4 straight F's for 4 straight years, and you're the state and you have awesome powers under 3302.10, and you come out of the business world and you work for a governor that come out of the business world, and you're going to get 4 F's in 4 years and spend $500 million, and you're in absolute charge? I mean, what part of this you don't understand?
Yeah, Gemma, we're at the top of the hour. We'll be back if you want to hold on for a second. We'll finish up a little bit with that and a little bit about Common Core. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back.
UIandFriends.com.
Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Scott Goldberg. Like a war zone, that's how some people are describing the neighborhood around the mall in Kenya, where militants killed at least 62 people this weekend. The Kenyan government now says there are few, if any, hostages left in Nairobi after a three-day standoff. President Obama is keeping a close eye on it.
The president called Kenya's president, offered his condolences, but more than that, he offered U.S. support in trying to track down and bring the perpetrators to justice.
ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Jonathan Carl. Mr. Obama arrives in New York today for the annual United Nations General Assembly. A big question, will he meet with the new president of Iran?
President Obama has Mideast meetings on his official schedule, but nothing with Iran. He and the new Iranian President Rouhani have exchanged letters, but the American government insists it will take not words but actions on Iran's part to surrender its nuclear ambitions before there is any overt sign of diplomatic detente. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Back in Washington, some agencies are making contingency plans in case there's a government shutdown starting about this time next week. In Colorado, the number of people still unaccounted for in the bad flooding there is down to 6. On Wall Street, Apple stock is staging a turnaround today after not impressing investors very much last week when the company released 2 new versions of the iPhone. But now Apple says sales of the phones have been strong.
The announcement from Apple shows that the launch of the 2 smartphones, the 5S and 5C, were indeed a big event. Shoppers snapped up 9 million new iPhones in the first 3 days. Apple says demand for the 5S has outstripped supply. The launch went better than expected. Apple shares jumped more than 5% after the announcement.
ABC's Richard Davies. The markets overall are worried about that possible government shutdown. The Dow down about 35 points at last look. The NASDAQ down 11. The S&P 500 off about 7. This is ABC News.
Marcia's identity thief wasn't a stranger. It was her best friend, her roommate. She put Marcia close to $100,000 in debt. Marcia ended up losing her home. A few years later, it almost happened again. But this time, she was armed with the proactive protection of LifeLock services. Shockingly, she again knew the thief trying to steal her identity. It was her son's friend, attempting to get a loan in Marcia's name. With LifeLock's help, Marcia was able to stop the fraudulent loan before it could damage her finances and good name. Marcia found out the hard way that identity theft has become so complex, you simply can't find it alone. Your personal and financial information is everywhere. Don't make the mistake of thinking identity theft will never happen to you. Visit LifeLock.com now and enter promo code AWARE or call and mention AWARE for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate membership. Call 1-800-305-2203. 800-305-2203. 800-305-2203. No one can prevent all identity theft.
The town of Leith, North Dakota, normally has a population of 28, but not yesterday. Big crowds were there protesting a plan by a white supremacist group to turn Leith into a white enclave.
We probably had 200-plus people here. We had a good support of the Native Americans from a couple of different tribes, people from all over the state.
That's the mayor, Ryan Schock. You know that person at work who's always in a lousy mood?
Every office has a Debbie Downer, someone who could buzzkill a birthday party.
All right, who wants cake?
I want some.
With all the refined sugars we're eating, America's experiencing a virtual epidemic of juvenile diabetes.
A survey by leadership development training company Fierce Inc. finds negativity is the most detrimental trait a coworker can have.
They've located my birth mother. Deceased.
The bad apple not only lowers office morale, it also reduces productivity and costs the company money. Management experts recommend communication to defuse the ticking time bomb.
That's Karen Chase, and I'm Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
My wife is a...
Bosch is the quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S., and now Bosch dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives you 30% more capacity compared to Bosch two-rack models. See yours at your local Bosch retailer today.
Your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer announces the Built Ford Tough Truck event. The deal just got better on a new F-150 and Super Duty 2, like 0% financing for 60 months, plus $1,500 cash back. Visit driveoneohio.com for details.
Come on, sweetie, jump to Dad.
I'm not sure Daddy's water is cool.
There are moments in life that cause us to hesitate.
Jump right here.
Okay, here I come.
I got you. Good job.
I did it. That was fun.
But once we take action, we're really glad that we did. If you're thinking about selling your home, don't hesitate. Interest rates are low and buyers are in the market. Every market's different. Call a Realtor today and visit Realtor.com. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Salem Quaker football returns to News Talk 600. Friday nights on AM 600 are the home of Salem Quaker football, presented by Stadium GM Superstore. We cover Salem Quaker football from the opening whistle to the final play of each game. Salem Quaker football, brought to you by Stadium GM Superstore, Hack Steer & Company, Crab Insurance, Friends Family Pharmacy, Kent State University at Salem and East Liverpool, and Glenn's Archery. Salem Quaker football, Friday nights only on News Talk 600 WSOM. Live weekdays from noon to 3. Listen to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that covers the valley issues that matter to you, global topics and news of the day. Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 4 hours of the best music in the world. Tune in Sundays from 1 till 4 p.m. for the Happy Polka Land Show. Sundays from 1 to 4 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Mighty, mighty. Earth, wind, and...
Earth, wind, and fire?
Earth, wind, and fire.
That's what goes through my mind about 4 hours after eating Taco Bell.
Your mind or your intestines?
A little bit of both.
Now, you know, I don't know what you just said.
What?
You think it's...
$500 you gave me for getting that job, you can't get it back. It's mine.
Oh,
I spent it already.
Man, I wish I'd tell you what, if I gave you $500, you better give me that $500 back. Man, I need some money this week so bad. You can write me at Post Office Box. Oh, man. This is one of those weeks where you're struggling, you know, baby girl in school.
The month. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, and she always has something she needs to do.
Oh, yeah.
But she's the one that beat the statistics that we're talking about here. So.
Well, you better hope so.
Anyway, we were talking about the article on the front page of the Youngstown Vindicator, and I'm sure in many other papers throughout the nation, that we're talking about the accomplishments of on standardized tests of white students versus black students, and that there's this 15, 18-point gap. And a good friend of mine here that is very instrumental in changing some of the things with the Youngstown schools, from the outside, by the way, Mr. Jim McWilson, who was successful in California in changing the educational system in a particular city there, is on the end of my line here. And Jim, go ahead and comment on some things, because we can't stay on this. Probably another 20 minutes we can give to this. And
I'll leave you on it for 20 minutes, because I'm going to have to go. We have setting up a meeting both with the superintendent
and getting ready for a meeting with the Academic Distress Commission. But
right.
Part of the problem is people can go actually go online, the Youngstown City School System, and pull down the state-approved plan and actually read the plan, revamping of the Youngstown City School System. People should not only read through it, but they should hold the district accountable for radically changing it. It is a radical change. We have direct involvement with it. The request from the state superintendent is that he takes the top three demographically similar schools in the state and the top three charter schools in the state that are demographically centered that have been excellent for the last 3 years and partner those with the Youngstown City Schools. They have never been in that top 1-2% tier. They need a role model. They need to partner with those role models. They need to have the teachers and administrators in the city have conversation, staff development, interaction with those. If you've never been to the Olympics, if you've never won a gold medal, if you've never won a silver medal, if you've never won a bronze, if you've never placed in the Olympic trials, to be able to go to the Olympics and have that experience, you can talk all you want about being the best of the best that went to the trials. But if you've never been to the Olympics, you've never had the experience. And Youngstown's never had that experience. As a collective body, yes, you've had people go through Youngstown and become a doctor, a lawyer, candlestick maker, instrumentalist, and all those. As a whole district,
right.
As a whole body, you need to have that experience or someone who's been there, done that, be a part of that process. That's what we're trying to get them to do. Everything else has been done. They now need to partner with someone who's done it and have that conversation.
Yeah, you know, if they would just look at things like the Urban Prep Academy in Chicago, and there's another one.
Yeah, we met with Tim King. He's willing to come here. We met with him in Washington, D.C. just a couple of months ago. Steve Perry, who at Capital Prep, he's willing to come here, have a conversation with the principals here, partner with them. When you can graduate 100%, when you can send 100% to college 4 years in a row, you're doing something. Whatever that is you're doing, that you need to duplicate and replicate, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. That's the problem.
Having a father that was told that he could never be a lawyer, he could be a clerk, though, when he was at one of our most prominent high schools at the time, the Rand School, and that's what his advisor told him, that he could never, ever be, you know, a lawyer. Okay, so we understand how the system works.
Yep.
I had my own daughter told, well, you're probably only going to be able to go to YSU, so you just better look into that school now, and because none of you are going to be able to afford to go to any other college.
Yeah.
Which, everybody, pissed me off.
Yeah,
but
well,
go
those,
ahead.
Those kind of things happen. I mean, you know, when my daughter was 5 years old, playing with her dollhouse in the garage, she said, "Dad, I want to be a lawyer or a teacher." And I just simply said to her, you know, well, at your age and at daddy's age, how about if you become a lawyer first, because I can't work two jobs long enough for you to become a teacher, change your mind and want to become a lawyer. And, you know, I was a single parent for 12 years with five kids. She was six months old when I became a single parent. So when people say being a single parent, you can't do certain things, well, it depends on your expectation. It depends upon your faith. It depends upon your persistence and your acquisition of knowledge, skills, and abilities essential to achieve success in whatever it is you want to do. So she is an attorney. She went to Yeshiva University on up on Fifth Avenue in New York, and she graduated. And she is an attorney. So, and she was the baby. So all I'm saying is, if you decide you want to do something and you decide you're going to work to do it, and yeah, it took two jobs and $3,000 a month for 7 years for her to get through. But you know what? I did those two jobs for 7 years, 6 days a week, to make sure she did it. And
right.
Took two jobs. But people have to understand, those are, that's your responsibility, and you go do what you have to do. I went to South High School. I went to Hillman Middle School. I went
right.
to Rand for 1 year and didn't like it, and had to walk from Scott Street up to South because my mother couldn't afford a bus pass. So I
sure.
did, I walk, and I walked. So, you know, I think a lot of this is attitude, is culture, and I don't just mean racial culture. You have to have a
right.
culture of expectations that says, not only can I do it, but I'll find someone who can help show me how to do it if I can't do it. And I think that's a lot of what's going on right now. People have settled into low performance, gotten rewarded for low performance, and expect to get rewarded for low performance. And I hate to say this to people, but I know some great teachers in Youngstown City Schools. I know kids who know great teachers, but the problem is that the ones who are not great teachers get rewarded for being the worst teachers, and that's the problem.
I got to ask you one
question. For being at the bottom.
Right. I got to ask you one. Yeah, that's absolutely true. Ask you one thing. What do you think of the new Common Core law that they're trying to put on, it's not a law, but it's a
curriculum in
curriculum
schools.
Guidelines that they're trying to put in the schools?
Well, I think, everybody needs to go to Achieve, Inc. And Achieve, Inc., for those who don't know, is where all the governors of all the states hang out. And they're the ones who bought into this. And I'm like they are. First of all, I'm going to decide what's going to go on in my state. And when they all got together and they decided that they were going to buy into it because it gives them the flexibility they need, and they figure they want. And if you look at what's going on in each state, the states are pulling in certain things that they want in their state. So I don't look at it as a common core from the standpoint that everybody has to do the same thing, because if you look at what Kasich just did in Ohio, under that same common core, what he did was he came up with the A through F, and we used A through F 15 years ago to measure San Diego schools. That's why we sued the 8th largest school district in the nation. You see what I'm saying?
Wow. Okay, yeah.
So you're
saying that if the state is discriminatory in how they pick and choose what goes in and what does not go in, they can under Common Core.
Yeah, the governor of each state, and I would say at least 75 to 80% of these governors belong to Achieve. And if you go into Achieve, I think it's Achieve Inc., they belong. And Kasich, I think, did a great job when he went to A through F. It's a simple way for you to go home and take your report card. It's an easy way to say to teachers and administrators, you got an, like that kid that went home with his report card, you got an F or you got an A. There's no simpler way to say where the hell you stand and in which category you stand in.
Well, this is true.
I thought it was the best thing. We took our report card out because that report card was one that we used. Like I said, you can go online and literally see us in court. If you go to parentsstudentunion.org, in 95 when we sued the 8th largest school district in the nation, you can see the press conference we gave and watch us walk into the boardroom in a demonstration and hand the lawsuit to the board in the middle of a board meeting. And then you can go right into court and watch us in the courtroom, and we had to fight the ACLU and the school board. And we won.
Okay. Well, anyway, I have one guy that wants to get in on this. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good conversation. Everything this gentleman has been saying, Mr. McWilton, is that correct?
Just Jim, it's fine. Great. Thank you.
Okay. I'm good. I'm pretty familiar with curriculums like Common Core. We had a program introduced into our school system called International Baccalaureate. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that.
Great program.
The program, and I'm disgusted by the program. I've been fighting it for the last 3 years. I believe that they push the same ideals when it comes to education in America. You're absolutely right when you speak of, it's states that are in control or should be in control of the education system. That's the way it should be constitutionally. Unfortunately, it's not. There's a reason why we have
a
department.
What state are you in?
I'm in Ohio. I live in the Akron area.
Okay. In California, you could only get the International Baccalaureate if you chose it, and it was only in San Diego, it wasn't in the rest of the state in terms of the people who chose it.
And you're absolutely correct. It is if you chose it, but it's up to the individual school systems.
Right.
However, they get little favors and little bumps and little nods and chances at promotions and such if they accept that International Baccalaureate. When it comes to Common Core, this is something that's also being pushed by our federal Department of Education. I'm not saying that they're in control, but there's the guy behind the curtain. They're really pushing it, and they have the power to pull funding from school systems if they don't like the way that they're implementing these programs. And it's been done.
Let me just be clear about this. Let me go back to something Jeff said, and when you asked me about it, and I'm going to make this caveat. Mm-hmm. The governor of the state, through Achieve, your Department of Education, these all people in your state legislatures, because they have to change, they have to literally change laws in the state to buy into these things. At the center of everything, and this person is not wrong, at the center of everything is power, money, and control.
There's
no doubt.
That's
the Trinity. That's the Trinity. So whoever has the power, money, and control is going to make those decisions. And what you want to be able to do is to be able to be involved in helping your legislators and governor make the right decision. So whoever is involved, and Jeff, you know this from being involved with your party, you've got to be involved with your party or your party in power to help them make the right decision, because regardless of how whether we like it or not, that's how the American system works, and that's how it's going to be made. And what you want to do is to engage that party or those parties with some sort of power base to help make the best decision to get the best outcome, because ultimately, if you're involved with NEA or AFT, and for those who don't know what that means, that's the American Federation of Teachers, National Education Association, or your own party group, whatever that group is, whether you're an independent or Republican or Democrat or right or left of center, right or center, or in the center. You're going to have to get involved to make sure that your voice is heard. And I had to learn that starting out just as a parent, and that's why I wound up going all the way to a lawsuit against the 8th largest school district in the nation and fighting the ACLU and the school board to make our voices heard.
But Jim, if the ACTs and SATs are written to this Common Core curriculum, which we disagree with, because it's part of the Common Core curriculum that if you can figure out how to explain how you got there, you can say 1 + 1 = 3.
Yeah,
how is a school district supposed to fight back?
You can also pull your child out of that. Our parents have
But I'm asking you now. Wait a minute. If the ACTs and SATs, which my child has to get a certain score on to get into college, are written to these curriculums, how can my child get into college if I don't let them be taught stuff that I disagree with?
Yeah, but there are also colleges that don't require the ACT or the SAT or don't use those as the weight for you to get in, that you can send your child to and still get a good education. See, there are ways around these things. Do not be blindsided or brainwashed by the hype that only the schools that use the ACT or SAT are the only schools that your child can go to get a college education. That's just not true. You have to search it out.
It depends what your child wants to do. For example, my daughter's a mining engineer. I guarantee you there isn't a mining engineering school in this country that will accept you without an SAT or an ACT score.
But I would say to you, and I'm just saying this because of my kids and what I had to do. I can guarantee you that if you want to make it happen for your child, you can make it happen. I had five, adopted two more out of my family unofficially because of what was going on in my family. And the ones that wanted to make it happen, you can make it happen. That's a part of being in this country. And well, I'm saying it to you. Do not buy into the hype that there's only one way to do it. I was director of the acute care laboratory in the Department of Neonatology at Children's Hospital in San Diego, and I didn't go to college because I didn't want to go that route.
How old are you, by the way?
Now I'm 68. I'm 68. I was chief of the pulmonary physiology department at UCSD Medical Center in San Diego, and I didn't go to college. So what I'm saying to you is that that's the beauty of this country, of what's possible.
But things, you and I'm 49, and you and I have seen things change throughout the years. Do you honestly think that someone without a college education could achieve that level at starting out at age 30?
I'm going to ask you this question, and then I'm going to have to hang up. And, Jeff, you're going to have to answer this question for him. Do you believe in the United States of America?
Now, absolutely.
I'm an African American descendant in a country that created slavery in this country, and I've been able to achieve that. And I resigned a $100,000 position, corporate position in San Diego, left a $450,000 house to come here to do this for free for these kids. Now, I'm going to ask you that question again. Do you believe it's possible?
Can I answer it?
Yes.
Well, I went to community college. I got a 13 on ACT. I was told by my counselor to never go to college. I went to community college. They give you what's called a placement test. I tested way above the placement test because I took calculus and all that. I just chased girls in basketball in high school and didn't do my homework. But
yeah, but go ahead.
They thought I was slow, which I wasn't. I graduated. I was dean's list. I did all that, and I failed the ACT, got a 13 on it. As far as with my brother, he spent $1,000 a month to send my niece to this private school because it was so great, and she only got like a 27 on the ACT, and she didn't get all the scholarships. So I think I'm just saying this. I mean, there are more than one way to skin a cat. All you need is 36 hours of college credit from any school. Then you transfer in, and you're good. They don't even look at your ACT after you have 36 hours.
There you go.
You don't have to necessarily go and take the ACT if there's some big problem about it. You need is 36, and you can actually have those 36 hours before you even graduate high school.
There you go. That, what I'm saying to you when I ask you that question, I'm telling you right now that I counsel people all the time. I just counsel a father and his son out of a high school in his junior year because they got upset and suspended him for 10 days because of a phone. They took the phone. He gave him the phone, but he took the chip. They suspended him because he was smart enough to take the chip out of the phone. Instead of there being a big rigmarole, I had the father take him over to get his GED. He took the GED, left school in the 11th grade, took his GED. His father didn't realize that. He pulled down the requirements to get into Ohio State. His father wanted to know, well, what was he going to do because he didn't want to fight the school. I said, have him take the GED. He's qualified to go to YSU. The son went to YSU, got a job. He was his friends were still at the high school. He was at YSU as a freshman because he was qualified. Do you understand what I'm saying? And he had a job. So he was helping his father, who was a single father. He had a job making his own money. And he was a freshman at YSU. His friends hadn't even got their senior year. All I'm telling you is that these things are possible. You just got to know the route.
And another thing, that just to piggyback on that also, is education. Once you get out of school and you're in your mid-30s, the head start that that guy got from going to Ohio State and you went to Youngstown is probably going to be diminished if you're good at what you do.
At what you do. Because ultimately, I was so good at what I did. The University of California, San Diego Pulmonary Physiology Department promoted me, not because I didn't have a degree. They rewrote the job description that said you needed a master's
preferably a PhD, and or the equivalent in experience. And I was so experienced and so good, I got the job. Because they wanted the skills, and they paid me to do the job because I had the skills. And that goes on all over this country. All over this country all the time. You can't get any better, you can't get any more skilled than that. When it comes down to business and skills, they want the skills. That's what business is about.
So anyway, I know you're going to have to go.
Great show.
Hey, but one other thing, when you come back, I want to know what you think about the third grade guarantee as well.
Well, and the only thing I think about the third grade guarantee is they better guarantee those teachers can teach.
I like that.
We know God gave the kids the capacity to master. They just can't all master at the same time in the same place, right? The question is, can the teachers teach? Thank you, Jeff. Talk to you later.
All right, my friend. We'll see you later. Mr. Jimmy Wilson.
Okay. All right, bye-bye.
And we're sitting in here. 843, you are, I almost had you. 843, you are in the air.
Hello, how y'all doing today?
Hey, what's up, Sal?
Not too much. Taking it easy. I hear y'all done got cold up there.
Nah, it's a little chilly. It's going to warm up for the rest of the week. We'll be in the mid to high 70s all week.
Perfect sleeping weather.
Okay.
Yeah. What about those Chicago Bears, huh?
No, I understand. Well, how about them Carolina Panthers?
Who did they beat up on?
Giants. Eli Manning and the New York Giants.
Yeah, they sure did.
Yeah, they made
nothing.
They made Eli.
Cam just beasted him, just forced his way in the end zone. Cam a beast, man. I think Cam just needs more weapons. They don't got enough weapons on that outside. They talking about Steve Smith. Steve Smith about done there in a wheelchair, man. He need to get somebody out there. Need some youth, man. That dude 36 years, he about my age. Steve Smith about my age out there running wide receiver. They talking about he got weapons. Man, they got no weapons out there.
That's right. They'll have Gordon by the end of the week, I'm sure.
Yeah, check that out. There's a lot of changes this year. This is fun. But anyway, we were talking about education, and we don't have to stay on that subject because it's Monday, and we usually open up the line. Whatever you want to talk about, if you want to talk about what's going on over in Kenya, where they are believing that there are some Americans involved in these killing of these Christians over there that are helping the radical Islamist.
Is that another terrorist group that Barack wants to support?
Well, here's the thing.
Hey, I saw Egypt just outlawed the Muslim Brotherhood. I saw
what?
Isn't that a great turn of events?
Yeah.
The very power that our president helped put in and wanted to give them.
Oh, he did give them. He did.
He gave them everything.
Yeah, he
gave them $14 billion and F-16.
And now they're not allowed to have all those toys. What's the president going to do now? It's like checkmate. You know what I mean?
Well, Alex. Go ahead, Matt.
No, he just asked, what's the president going to do now? Well, it's very simple. It's, you know, if he doesn't get what he wants, he's just going to lob a few ICBMs that way, and Egypt will be wiped off the map.
Ooh, no.
You know, I don't think it's
he'd
be aiming at. I think it'd be Israel he'd be aiming at, to be honest with you. Because that's what all radical Muslims want.
I'm going to tell you what. I don't think he wants to mess with Israel, because Israel told Iran, we'll be in your country and gone, having destroyed everything we wanted to before
you even know we got there. And I believe it.
I believe that, and I believe that they can do it to us if need be. Mm-hmm. At least some major cities, I believe they could wipe out our eastern seaboard, and we wouldn't have a single defense against them.
Hey, do me a favor, listeners out there, please check your TV guide. Make sure that that show Hostages isn't reality TV. I really want to sign up for that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, Jeff. You know,
yeah.
I just wanted to bring up real quick. What's wrong with your with the guy you wish was president, Mitt Romney? You heard that he?
Oh no! I didn't wish he was president. What did he do this time though? No, I told you, he's the same thing as Barack Obama.
I was very clear about that.
His family, he just adopted a kid, and it seems like a little, a little black kid, African descent, whatever. And, you know, they named this kid Kieran, which is Irish for, his name means in Irish, little black one. And it's just, what in the 47% are these white bread mofos thinking?
That has to be the gaffe of the century.
So if we would have gotten the White House, we would have had little Sambo running around the White House right now.
Listen. That is elitist thoughts.
Little black one? Little black one?
Hey, should he have named the kid Laquan or something like that? Come on, man. Let's be realistic about this thing, man.
Wait a minute now. Wait. I agree with Alex, though. I think you still don't just name him no anything. That's like, come on, man. I mean, why you got to call him Little Black One?
What about all the white Irish
parents? Because they're
Little
Black One.
What about all the white Irish kids that are named Karen?
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of them, too. Do they know what it means?
Yeah,
I know one
still.
Seriously.
They thought about that one. It's too much of a
coincidence. No, they did not.
For this
they
little
did
black
not.
Kid.
Oh, yes,
they
did.
You're
nitpicking.
I would believe that Mitt Romney would have researched that and probably did it as a
He wouldn't be able to get away with anything.
No, I'm not racist. He's not being racist by naming him that.
Well, he's a progressive.
He's a progressive, but this is what he's doing.
He prescribes what Margaret Sanger said.
Well, he sure does.
Okay.
He was a huge supporter of abortion before he is against it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, listen, elitists do crazy stuff like that. They think that they're being cute by doing it. You have to understand. They look at everything as under their purview, and when you have somebody that's a multi-billionaire, trillionaire type of situation, you can expect things going on.
These guys are so rich, for them slavery still exists.
Well,
they buy and sell people daily.
Let me ask you this though. I just found out about this thing they declassified some years ago, where they wanted to frame Cuba by saying they hijacked some planes and they were going to fly them remote controlly into some buildings and say that the Cubans did. It's called Operation Northwoods. Has anyone heard of that?
No, never heard of that.
Well, listen to Dave.
I've heard the term, but I didn't know what it was. I never researched it. I've heard about Operation Northwood, but
I mean, I wouldn't put anything past Kennedy.
But the thing is, Eisenhower was getting out of the White House. His final speech, he goes off prompter and starts talking about the military-industrial complex. We're in trouble. The next guy gets in. You know the two presidents always meet. He gets in. He starts trying to defund the Federal Reserve. He gets his brains blowed out. And I found out he was trying to even talk about reparations, which would have been – that would have been interesting. But
well,
I'm just saying, like – and he got killed. So, and then nobody said anything since. So when you look at Mitt Romney, he down with the team. I mean, he ain't going to come in and he wasn't going to make no real waves. Now, he might have did some stuff economically. I give him that. Other than that, that's about all he did. And he probably still would have been kept printing money.
We know that Paul Volcker threatened to destroy the U.S. economy because Reagan wanted to do away with the Federal Reserve, too. And Volcker personally went to Reagan and said, if you do this, I'll destroy the economy.
Wow.
Didn't Reagan mysteriously get shot after that?
Yeah.
Yeah, not very long. Yeah.
Come on, man. These folks, anybody that cracks says anything to them gets shot.
Who was the guy's daddy? Young boy's daddy that
shot Reagan?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can't. What's his name? What was the shooter's name?
Oh man, I can't.
All I know is that he read the book Catcher in the Rye.
Well, he read Catcher in the Rye, but he also liked that one girl, and they said he was
Jodie Foster.
But I don't believe that that's the reason he did this. I believe that that was early mind control. I believe Sirhan was mind control.
No,
the guy that just did the shooting, he just had some issues with mind control. He said, "This is my ELF. What is it?
John
Extremely low frequency."
Hinckley.
No, the guy that just did the shooting in D.C.
Yeah, in Washington,
last week.
In Washington, yes, at the Naval.
Yeah,
camp.
This is my ELF. But he went directly where they have those weapons. He went in that area because he knows where they are. He knows those are the type of weapons that they use on
people.
He was working on
the Naval Yard. He was working at the Naval Yard.
Yep.
So he knew.
He knew that those are the type of weapons that they use to manipulate people's minds. And if you read a description of those weapons, they do exactly what he described was going on when he went to the police.
Because
usually when a person's schizophrenic, they usually say they hear God or they hear. This guy was saying, "I'm hearing three people. They talking to me. I'm being harassed. They won't let me sleep." And he got prescribed the medicine. He wasn't. Usually people don't go into schizophrenia at 35 years old. Usually they'll have a history.
They do if they have a history of drug abuse, which I don't know he did have. But I can tell you this. He spent up to 16 hours a day playing Tour of Duty. And if you're already a little unhinged and you start playing first-person shooter games on that at that level, pretty soon reality and the game start to come together.
And
I'm not saying
we got to take a break, Alabama. We're about to see you back on the other side of the news.
Leave the mic open.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news.
Hello?
Hello, Alabama. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. We must be the only ones on. South Carolina was there listening, and Matt?
Yeah, I'm here. I just got to mute it.
Okay. Is Matt still there then? He must have left. He was talking to
Alex. Alex was here talking a second ago.
And Alex, yeah. Alex was there too. I don't know. Maybe everybody went to go get a cup of coffee.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm not going to just go as far as to say every time somebody grab a gun and shoot somebody, it's a conspiracy. But I'm not going to say every time somebody shoots it or does something that it's not either. You never know. And I don't put something past or trust. So who's to say what this guy was really going through? We don't know. I mean, we really don't know. So there's a couple of incidents where some new information came out after the fact that made it a little suspicious, like, well, maybe these guys were. You never really know because the media, you really don't have real investigative reporting going on anymore. So we don't really know the whole story behind a lot of this stuff we see.
Every time anybody knows, it's always a mental situation. They always bring up some kind of mental dysfunctional behavior. They never really, other than, the Trayvon Martin case, I mean, in the media, when we're talking about media stories, that was self-defense. But none of these other things can be like that. They're always bringing up mental issues because there is an agenda to tell them to keep mental people. They want to start breaking down the divisions of the human race, and they want to start eliminating people.
Well, actually, and Alex, to answer your question, I was talking about the guy that just was shooting last week. But there are other cases. I think the Sandy Hook shooting, there was
right.
a lot of weird information came out that just didn't fit.
Right.
A lot of stuff that came out, like as far as other shooters. There were other shooters in the Colorado movie theater thing with the guy.
Right.
It was more
shooters. And this is clear. This is stuff that was reported early. But there's a narrative that the media is given, and they all stick to the script. But at first, those local media people actually come out and report all of it.
There was also a very high-ranking South Carolina, maybe we'll remember his name. He was a young man, and he was shot on the gun range. He was a serviceman, very, very decorated, and he was shot by some psycho person that was on the shooting range.
It was actually a kid that he was helping out. He had been helping.
Yes,
yeah,
to get over some kind of issues that he had from being in
right.
the war. And you know, that was very, very quick. There was really no investigation whatsoever. Not very much.
Brands
and,
on Newstalk 600, WSOM.
And we're back once again, afternoon with Tracy and friends, 15 before the hour, 2 o'clock. And we're talking about whatever is on your mind. And we had one of our callers talking about Kennedy and some of the things that he was espousing. I don't know whether Kennedy espoused reparations.
I think the reparations were for all his exes. All his, yeah, I don't think it was for black people.
Marilyn Monroe,
for
you
Marilyn
know,
Monroe,
it was
yes.
for
yeah,
Marilyn
Monroe,
when
her
yes.
sorted
friends. But
yes.
she wound up dead, you know.
and if that's what they mean by reparations, trust me, you don't want it.
I didn't know that. We were just talking about presidents in the Ivy League. George Washington had no formal education of any kind.
Wow.
Not even as much as a high school diploma. That surprises me because he was from a wealthy family, wasn't he?
Don't know, but the thing is you know, formal education is not necessary all the time.
Well, they've kind of brainwashed us all into thinking that you got to have a degree nowadays. I believe in apprenticeship, quite frankly. If I had a child, that's what I'd tell them. Find somebody doing what you want to do, gain experience doing it, and I guarantee if you got a resume and you got 3-4 years of experience and you're 19, people don't care as long as you know how to do what you know how to do.
But Alabama, look at what we've done. We've made it impossible for young people to learn that way. Glenn Beck's been hollering on the radio here for a few weeks that, if you're not a college student, you can't do an internship. And two, you can't work for somebody for free to gain experience legally.
Well,
that person,
where did you get that from?
That's against the law.
Well, I didn't know that because I've done it. I did it. I did it too.
We all did it. But if somebody wants to push the... But if somebody wants to push it, if some parent gets upset with somebody that their kid's helping for free, they can get that person in trouble for child labor laws.
Child labor laws,
and
true.
for pay and not paying minimum wage and all this stuff. And who suffers? The children.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the norm, though. I think if you want to do something alone, if you want to learn how to do anything nowadays except be a brain surgeon or something like that, but if it's something where you see a guy in your community doing it, you come ask questions and you sit and watch, you learn, you mimic, you do little test cases. I mean, that's how it works, man. That's how it used to work, and now all of a sudden we got to go to college.
Well,
you can't do that
anymore.
You can't
go
do
ahead.
What?
Go ahead, Alex.
You just can't do it anymore. I mean, it. Yeah, I mean, and the guest that was on. I mean, I understand where he's coming from, and I just have to respectfully disagree with him. I mean, because for one, his age, you know, yeah, someone of his age would have, you know, could have accumulated such experience where. Yeah, they would say, you know what, you don't need a degree for that because you have all this experience. But if you are 20-something, you can't get a job without a decent job without a college degree.
Let me ask you something. So, like right now, iPhone development, it really hasn't caught on at universities yet, iPhone, Android. There may be a few. Most people that get
mm-hmm.
jobs like that are self-taught.
Mm-hmm.
People, there's
yeah,
not really
true.
When it comes to that type of stuff. It's not in
yeah.
IT is a little bit different because I personally went in with no experience. Yeah, I got a bachelor's, but I went in with no experience. Nobody's gonna give me a job until I went and worked with my brother and did some things for free, and that's the only way. I mean, I think you
yeah.
still can. Like, say you want to be a mechanic. You can do it.
No, but, nobody's nowadays. Nobody's going to hire you. See, unless you create your own company and your own business
right.
or something. But you know, nobody's going to hire you if you're a mechanic. If you're not, you know, certified with SAE or whatever it is, certified. No one's going to hire
ASE.
You. And I can tell you from personal experience because I am an electrical engineer and I've designed, you know, probably a dozen different consumer products. Some of you probably even used. And I can tell you that the, you know, people who do app development, Android and app and iPhone and things like that, if they don't have a certain level of technical training, they suck. And I'm just going to say it like that. They suck.
Well, hold on. But there's a guy in this city right now. My friend's a recruiter. There's this kid. He's about 19 years old. He has his phone turned off. His voicemail's full. There are so many recruiters trying to get him. This guy he graduated last year. He charges $100 an hour to develop, and he's good. I mean, there are kids out in California that do it. These are people that's coming out of high school.
Yeah, well,
I mean, don't tell me it's impossible.
No, it's not impossible, but it's very – listen. What we're saying is it's very difficult to go that route. It would be better for you to try to get some sort of training, because actually when people hire you these days, they're hiring you to see whether you know how to learn.
Well, hold on. The caller wasn't saying that. Your guest wasn't saying that, though. Your guest was saying that people can get into school without the ACT. That's all he was saying. That's all I heard him say.
Well, and it's true, but you can't get into a whole lot of schools you may want to get in.
And that's why you go to community college route at first, get 36 hours, and then transfer in.
But Alabama, my father had a cousin.
Why can't you do that?
Alabama. I mean, you can't transfer.
I can name five or six schools. Okay, I went to Wallace and Selma. I had 36 hours at the time. This was my freshman year. I had been redshirted, right? I could have went to McNeese State, Troy State University, South Alabama, University of South Alabama. I could have went to Auburn. I could have went to – once you got 36 hours, they don't look at that. Now you're considered a transfer student. You're no longer – they're not looking at that high school stuff anymore when you've been in college, because you have a track record now.
I get that, but I can tell you that most – I know, like, the college I went to, Pitt, your credits don't even count. They won't even transfer them. They won't even
look at them. Well, that depends on what you have to do. All you have to do is line up the community college and make sure that the credits count. Not all community colleges are just not going to be able to transfer their credits.
When I got finished out of the Marine Corps, they didn't have what's called a smart transcript, but they have them now, and they built my smart transcript. And the number of credits that I got, the total number was 31 semester hours. So I basically completed my freshman year because of the 6 years of service that I put in and the MOS that I had.
But see, the thing is, South Carolina, had they told you what you have to do is, because I had this problem when I transferred to Tuskegee, you have to go in. But if you know where you want to go, you call that counselor and say, what classes count? And you take those classes. So, because if I took some introduction to business courses, because I didn't know where I was going to go, because I was playing basketball, I didn't know where I was going to transfer. That course didn't transfer nowhere. I took a PageMaker 4.0. I took a few courses that didn't count. So I came in, I had 2 years. I came in at like a little over 38 hours, something like that. I was disappointed because I had an associate coming in, but they didn't ask for an ACT. That didn't count. When I came, and Tuskegee is not Harvard, but I'm just saying that to say that once you get over 36 hours, and if you know where you're going, and you've coordinated that university, like if you're in Ohio and you know you want to go to Ohio State, you coordinate with those people and say, okay, I'm going here. What courses do I need to take to be able to transfer? And then you take them, and that's how it's done. I did it. That's the only – because nobody asked for my transfer. When I was looking at all those colleges, none of them wanted my high school or my because they saw I had 36 hours. Once you complete that freshman year, then you're considered a college student.
But Alabama, my father had a cousin, and he's passed away now, so he would be in his 80s. He went to work for Timken Company. There was a point where he could no longer be advanced because he did not have an engineering degree. He could go no further within the company.
I'm not going to say that there aren't jobs that are required, because I'll be like, I look crazy trying to debate you guys against China. That's like saying, I can be a doctor or a lawyer without a degree.
For example, if you don't have a PE, if you don't have a professional engineer, and you cannot take – Alex, tell me if I'm wrong on this. You cannot take that exam unless you have an engineering degree.
But everybody doesn't want to be, and I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying that how we're talking about how to get in college, or are we talking about just getting out there doing what he did in IT? It can be done, but I ain't going to get into that.
Let me tell you something. I'm what's called an RS. My training, my schooling, was an RS standard. But if I don't have a 4-year degree in the area that I want to apply for, I can't even take the RS again.
My dad got another friend that.
And I'm not arguing with you, but there are jobs. There are jobs, state jobs you can get with a high school diploma, work 5 to 10 years, leave. You got 10 years experience in networking or database. Trust me, you can get a good job.
There's no doubt about it, but let me tell you this. That's changing drastically.
What happens with these things, Alabama, is once they become mainstreamed, that's when they start demanding college to get even in at entry level. That's what happens. IT right now is still basically in its birth. But you go into some of these older technologies and older occupations, you can't even get a job as a mill electrician without an associate's degree in electrical
engineering. And this is the thing, what we're doing, the reason this debate is just because I can always bring out examples. There are always going to be examples where it's not true. So I see what you're saying, and let me make the point. I understand the importance of getting an education. But I personally probably wouldn't even go to college today, and I probably still would be standing right here doing what I'm doing. That's just me.
When it comes down to it,
because
you can go
get an associate's degree or something, and go. You don't have to go get a bachelor's. You get an associate degree, get some certifications in SQL Server. With the demand the way it is now, and I guarantee you, I know people. The guys I work, one guy used to be a chef. He's my boss. Used to be a chef. He's making. Probably 150 or more. So I just don't think that it's like that. So.
Go ahead, Alex.
I just want to say real quick that, what we're talking about really is a symptom of a bad economy, essentially, because there used to be a time where you could. You could get a job even without a high school diploma, and people would train you on the job because the work needed to be done. And if the work wasn't done, they were losing money. So they would train you on the job to get it done. And so, what we're talking about really, I don't think we're really addressing what the crux of the issue is. The crux of the issue is that we have a poor economy. And so what happens is companies find reasons to not hire, and so they create more and more exclusion criteria. You need to have because I see it all the time. Jobs that you do, there's no possible way that you would need a bachelor's degree to do certain jobs, but they put that requirement on it because if they don't. If they just put that job rec out there on job or career builder or whatever, they will get 100,000 job applications back because the economy is just that bad. And so
That's what I'm saying because they're going to be more discriminatory on how they choose workers these days.
And not only that, they've also the regulations on training programs. Like we got on this discussion because it is illegal to take a young person and let them work for you for free to learn a trade.
Which is crazy. And then they don't even allow your own kid on your farm.
Let me say this because the caller, your guest is
in a minute, so you might get interrupted. Go ahead.
Okay, but your guest is no longer here. But he made a point. He was just saying. There's a way. Is it going to be hard? Yes, but there's a way. That's all he's saying, and I agree with that. And that's how I live. So I don't, when I started in IT, I had some situations that would have really hindered me, not just from not having know-how, but other driving, all types of stuff, that background check mess, all types of credit problems, and I still did it. Was it hard? Did I get told no 50,000 times? Yes. Would it have been easier had I not had those problems? Yes. But there was one guy, got on the phone, and that's all it takes is one person. And that's all he was saying.
Okay, we're about to break. We'll see you back on the other side of the news. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends.
Listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to
You there, Alex?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I was saying, man. I wasn't trying to say that. Look, there's always, it's always easier if you got X or if you got Y. I'm not going to argue, but that's, I'd be a fool to sit up there and say a guy doesn't stand there. It's a lot easier if you got an education. But not having an education, can you get a job? Can, yes, you can. I just think it takes, but you're going to have to go do some other things peripherally to make yourself more marketable, namely certifications. If you're certified, then a lot of times that is more valuable than a bachelor's. Mm-hmm. That's why a lot of people get out of college with a bachelor's degree, can't get a job. You got a guy with,
yeah,
you know, and he'll be up there not even graduated yet, but he's working.
Yeah,
because he has
true.
Those,
I mean,
you know, he has those certifications.
That's true. I mean, I have a family member who, he's gone back to school trying to finish a engineering degree in electronics or whatever, and I'm he's one of those guys, he's been in school for a while, and you know, I guess he's been done a few different, you know, programs, and just, you know, just life and kids just caught up with him. He just never really finished, and so, but he's like, you know, he's serious now, he wants to finish this degree, and I'm telling him, essentially what you were saying, I told him that, you know, if I were him, because he's older than me, I wouldn't even do the whole bachelor's degree. He already has some college credit. I told him, you know, just figure out what you could do to get an AS degree from, you know, from the college or community college or university, and then. And I told him, you know, if you want to do this type of like electronics work, go get certified in, you know, in one or two of these different software packages, and you'll be able to get work real quick, you know what I'm saying, just by getting certified. And without, you know, you won't even have a bachelor's degree, but you'll probably be more in demand than I am. You know,
it's funny though, because in IT, I failed the certification. The certification test for Oracle was extremely hard. It wasn't easy. And, of course, because they want you to keep coming back, getting them $200 every time you take it. So it's a lot harder. Then when you take the test, you fail, you got to take it over. But then when you get out here to work, it's not as hard. It's not. And then when you take those practice tests, it's six possible answers. Two of them are going to look identical. One of them, and four of them are going to be in, you know, but that's another thing. Like, there are ways, you just have to do it the hard way. That's all. It is the hard way, I will admit that. But it can be done. That's all. I mean, like, for the state of Alabama, if you want to work in IT, they're not even hiring. But if I wanted to work, I have worked in IT for the state, and it was basically word of mouth, knowing someone. I had to, you know, had the information. You just have to kind of work it. Networking has been lost as an art as well, too, because people had to network back in the day. They didn't have the internet. So now the internet's kind of got people lazy. So you go to unemployment office now, they don't really send you anywhere. They say, all right, just go to the website. Here it is. And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... There is some drawback. It really depends on what you want to do, because, like, yes, certifications can give you a job, but it does limit you in other ways though, because when, you know, if you want to do a certain job, get experience, and maybe even start your own business, you know, certifications are good. But when it comes, like, nowadays, if you're new, when it comes to, like, growing within organizations and corporations and stuff, it's, you know, you need, you know,
You made a post about a job and about having a job, and I agree with you, but I disagree to a certain extent. I do think having a job and in corporate America ain't all that, and I think a lot of people let that go. They get proud about it, but it's not that hard to really get into, and it's not what it's all is cracked up to be. But at the same time, if you manage your money, someone that has a 2-year certification or whatever, and they come in and they do their thing, if they manage their money, yeah, you ain't making 190, but you might be making 75, 80, which is still better than a lot of people. Then you still, you know, you can, and if you manage your money, and that just comes with wisdom. So,
yeah.
And that's the key. Yeah. The objective is to get from point A to point B. It's not, people aren't sitting up in these jobs because they love what they're doing. 90% of the time, they're sitting in these jobs. If you take that pay away, they'll leave. Like, if I wasn't getting paid, I wouldn't be here today. I'd be somewhere playing basketball, doing whatever.
Yeah. You know, there's also added risk, too, because I could tell you, like, you could get certain certifications that will become obsolete or irrelevant or just not in demand.
Oh, yeah, you get a cert. It's only about a 2-year window you can use it. After that, it's outdated, especially with SQL Server.
Yeah.
Microsoft.
Unless you luck up and fall into a position where you're working a job or a contract or something where you get exposure to the next, you know, to the next best thing, and that's really, you know, that's the risk that you run. You know, not so much when you, like, with engineering tools, because I advise my cousin that to do, because he wants to do electronics. So I told him, well, learn how to use this particular CAD software, because there's two that's been in use for at least the last, you know, 15 years. They ain't going nowhere. You know what I'm saying? So
there's
things like that for, like, mechanical CAD and electronics and things like that. But, you know, because I know software as well. I mean, I have a degree in computer engineering, my bachelor's is anyway. And, you know, I'm for that reason, I move completely away from all that database stuff. I mean, I used to, you know, I have a certification in software engineering, and I've done Oracle databases with Java and all this stuff. But the stuff changes all the time. And
yeah, like, they just brought out 2012. Now they're talking about doing 2014 already.
So just to give you an idea, guys, you know, I'm a computer technician. An electronics technician. I was trained to troubleshoot down to component level. So you know that's a while back. Now they're creating these guys to go down the card level.
And me and Big Paul are calling the treasures. What do you
that's
say?
That's right. That's right.
Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We appreciate you here. Anyway, how you all doing out there here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial and on WSOM 600 AM on your iHeart radio dial, as well as Tracy and Friends at Blog Talk Radio and TracyandFriends.com. So all of those places you can get us and you can hear what we're doing on here, and we will talk to you later about that. But anyway, we got a local caller on the line. Local caller, you are in the air. What do you want to talk about? Oh, no, you're not in the air, local caller. You hung up. Ain't that something?
Jeff.
Yeah.
I got something for you.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's some folks out there that are really upset about the Emmy Awards.
Yeah, what's
you know,
up
Claire
with
Danes,
that?
Claire Danes beat out Kerry Washington for the Emmy for Best Actress in a Drama Series. And they are yelling and screaming, racism, 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 because, you know, she didn't win.
Who beat out who?
Claire Danes beat out.
Who is that? Now,
okay,
who is
Kerry Washington
yeah.
is a young lady that plays on Scandal.
Oh, Scandal, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. And Claire Danes plays... you know, and she's an actress in Homeland.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in the Twitter world and on Facebook, and everybody's yelling, racism, racism, racism.
Yeah, I about know what's going on with that. Local caller, you can call back if you're allowed. I think I know who you are.
I don't know what to say about that.
Here's the thing that they do that is so crazy is they cry racism for everything. And then when real racism comes up, nobody knows it. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Because this is it.
Over a TV show.
Control up in here. That's what they're doing now. They make you so angry with this craziness, and you hear this stuff, and you say, where in the world do you get this crazy thought that you have that something's racism? Here it is, a man gets to the presidency, not mad at him for getting there. I mean, that's not the point. The point is what he's doing when he gets there. Now, if you think it's something good, then you think it's something good. I think what he's doing is terrible for America. But, you know, that's my belief by what I know. But I can't educate you. I can't educate you and tell you how things work if you won't listen and if you don't believe that that things are happening negatively, then why don't you notice that people are getting cut down hours of work to where they were at 40 hours plus some of them, and they're going down to 29 hours? If you don't notice that there's rolling blackouts in northeastern Ohio on warm days because they're closing down. Now, they just put another round of EPA regulations up last week. Did you see that stick?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
So now more EPA regulations on coal. So now what's that going to do to our energy grid? It's going to make it very strained. Energy cross clock. Huh?
Because I think GE just sold, I think, like $3 billion worth of gas electric turbines to Albania.
Mm-hmm.
for their water turbines and for their coal fired generators.
Well, but you know what we're doing in this country, South Carolina. This is how insane we are in the United States. They are blocking the expansion of the Port of Seattle and the Port of Los Angeles for coal exports. Until we're sure the people that our private companies in this country are going to dig coal for and ship it overseas are going to be burning that coal in an environmentally safe manner. So not only can't we burn it here, we're going to put more people out of work because we can't dig it out of the ground because we're going to attempt to stop people burning it overseas. And so they'll just dig more coal overseas and put more of their people to work. I you know, where does the insanity stop?
Well, I tell you what, I think we were talking about it the other day, and I think people think we're crazy. But sooner or later, we're gonna push or be pushed too far, and somebody's going to do something about it.
Well, we were talking about counties seceding from states and mm-hmm. groups of counties making their own states.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you right now, there's enough money in Ohio in the rural counties. If stupid counties like Mahoning County and Cuyahoga County pass these fracking laws and get laws passed at the state level that stop people from developing the wealth that is under their own property,
mm-hmm.
people are going to tell them, go fly a kite. and they'll do something.
That's true.
Because you can't take a man that's got several million dollars under his own property and say, you know what, we're not going to let you develop that. Not in the United States of America, because people forget this is the only country in the world where you own what's underneath your land.
Right. Only place.
Well,
who doesn't recognize that?
Well, you know, we keep hearing we're the richest nation on earth, and we are not a rich nation.
Not anymore.
We are a group. Well, even let's put that aside. We are a group of wealthy individuals who happen to live on the same piece of real estate, because the way the Constitution is written, the United States of America owns nothing or should own nothing. The individuals own the wealth, not the country, because to say the country owns the wealth means a socialistic society, and it's that whole we thing that is not what the country was founded on. It was founded on a group of individuals all looking out for each other's self, working together for each other's self-interest.
No doubt about it. I'm laughing and looking at crazy stuff here on the internet. This crazy thing. Now, we have seven days till Obamacare is instituted. Republicans aren't going to be able to do anything to stop it. Stupid rules are going into effect all over the place. And you have people blaming the Republicans for the recovery not happening quick enough. That just burns me up.
Oh, it makes me crazy.
Burns me up.
We're going to pass another law making energy more expensive.
Right?
And that's the biggest job killer we have, is taxes, regulation, and energy prices.
That's right. Even though oil is down a little right now, you've made coal not available, so therefore the industries that used to depend on energy from the coal-fired plants no longer can do business economically, and they're going out of business.
You can't make a ton of steel without coal.
I guarantee you.
No, it's part of what you have to have to make
right.
steel. Without coke, which is a charcoal form of coal,
that's right.
You cannot make pig iron, and without pig iron, you can't make steel from scratch. In fact, I don't even know. Do we even have a blast furnace left in the valley?
Yeah, we have.
Is the one over in Warren still running? That was the last one.
One is still. I gotta look that up. Tell you the truth.
I'm not sure. Because none of these mills. V&M Star, they don't make steel. They burn scrap. And if you ask the old-timers,
wow, okay.
What do the old-timers tell you? You're not a real steel mill unless you got a blast furnace.
Right. Well, excuse me. They're making throwaway steel, more or less, in the pipe. Once this thing is done, it's done. I don't think you're going to reuse those casings too much anymore.
Well,
not until you harvest them years later.
Well, they're making pipeline is what they're making.
Right.
And once the pipeline goes in the ground, until you start cutting sections of it out and repairing it,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be there forever.
Yeah, this is true. Well, we'll see what happens. Notice, too, now, let's go to another debacle that we're having, the one that's overseas now, is that we're having the Christians being killed in Syria. Okay, I'm going to try to get my local caller on, and I'll finish that. Local caller, you're on.
Yeah. This is Steve.
You were making so much noise, I had to hang you up twice, but go ahead.
Well, hey, I'm sorry about that, Jeff. I'm sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, I have something to say to Diva. Yes,
Diva's not on today, thank you, so you can't do it.
Yeah,
that's it. Nothing you can do.
I just want to say something.
No, sir. She's not on.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No.
So if you talk with D with this car that Steve said I do ever love Joe.
I had to let him go.
Yes, sir. Says here March 13th, 2013, last furnace in the Mahoning Valley sits idle, and that's the one up in Warren.
That's the one up in Warren that they mothballed for the longest, and then the French company came in and took it over. And then a German company took it over, I think it was. German or Russian, I can't remember. German.
Yeah, well, V&M is French.
V&M is French as well.
Yeah.
But that one that was over there was another French company. It was another international who thought that they could come here and do it better because you have the resources. But I'm telling you, with what the government is doing to coal is going to destroy our ability to keep our military strong because you can't make armor without that.
No.
And, you know, here it is. I don't know what people are thinking. Are we the only ones that know this?
I think you've got a lot of brainwashed people, and I say this a lot, and people get mad at it. But there's a little old lady works down at the feed mill in Homeworth, Ohio, and she says the further you get away from the dirt, the stupider you are. And you've got
true.
So many people that if they go outside of the city limits, they see those things going up and down, those oil wells.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're part of the scenery. They don't even know what they are.
They don't know what they are.
And they don't realize that this fracking, fracking is not the new technology. We have hydraulically fractured in the United States and in Ohio since the 40s.
I was going to say it's over 67 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, since the 40s. And all hydraulic fracturing is pumping water into the ground at high pressure to crack the rock.
Right.
The truly new technology that they're using that people forget this is the horizontal drilling, which means you can take one spot and you can drill 6, 7, 10 wells through the same hole in the ground, which means you're only breaking the water table once.
Sure.
And with the old technology where you see the pump jacks out in the farmer's fields, you're breaking the water table once every 40 acres.
Yeah.
And now they're breaking a water table once every 1,200 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would think that people would be on board for the safety of this thing because the wells are deeper and you're only going through the water table one time instead of multiple times for the same number of acreage.
That's because you know that and everybody else does not. And those people go, you're going to die if they frack. You're going to die. They're going to kill all the animals off. And we're getting ready to break. They're going to kill them off, Sticks. They're going to kill them. Kill them. They're going to kill them.
Avoid the rush and listen to us. Tune in to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, weekdays noon to 3 on News Talk.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795. Fit Family. Unique. Individualized. And promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives.
handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
What this world needs is a few more rednecks. The people ain't afraid to take a stand. What this world needs is a little more respect for the Lord and the law and the working man. We could use a little peace and satisfaction.
We need to be. I think I'm going to apply to be a redneck. You think I can make it?
Yeah, we'll give you a redneck card.
Okay.
You and Cowboy Troy.
Cowboy Troy, there you go. My man. My man, Cowboy
Darius
Troy.
Darius Rucker.
That's right. Sail on down the line. Down a mile or so. That's who wrote that song, right? Sail on,
hey,
Troy. You wrote it for
mine.
Huh?
I can send you mine.
That's
oh yeah,
right. South Carolina's got one.
You
know,
can borrow one.
No, man.
I think that would be like voting rights, man. I don't think I can use your redneck car.
Oh no. After you, hey, Jeff, you get one after you've attended your fifth NASCAR race.
Oh.
You get one.
All right, well, Sticks, let's go, man.
Let's go. How about that Matt Kenseth?
Oh man, I tell you what, bro. I'm just telling you, it's going to be an interesting chase, that's for sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a little-known language called NASCAR. NASCAR language is only understood by NASCAR goers. Just like football. If you don't understand football, you don't understand it, or baseball. I understand them all, and I can appreciate them all. I just, the violence of a car going around the field at 200 miles an hour just does not do it for me. They get up that high, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They're doing what? They're doing 205, 208
down to
Talladega now, aren't they, South Carolina?
Yeah. And see, Jeff, what they did was they put restrictor plates on the bigger tracks. To keep
mm-hmm.
the cars from going any faster. I mean, was it Bobby Allison or Kyle Yarborough, one of the two, wiped out at 212 miles an hour at Talladega?
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
look, just look at that Larson kid at Daytona this spring.
Yeah. Even with a restricted plate, they get on up there.
Well, that's every time. Yeah, every time they start going too fast, they get make the engine smaller and cut the fuel on them.
Yeah, well, I guess so. But
yeah.
I tell you,
oh, yeah.
me and NASCAR, because guess what? If that car hits something hard,
oh, you got to
going at 200 miles an hour. This is what happens.
I'm gonna put this on your Facebook page, Jeff. It's Kyle Larson hitting the fence at Daytona last spring.
Oh, Lord, I think I saw that. He survived that?
Oh, yeah, he raced this weekend.
What gets me is how they have been able to engineer the roll bars inside that car to save those lives of those guys if they do hit. That is fantastic to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Think about this, Jeff. In the IndyCar series or Formula One series, man, you think about those guys. They're going 225, 226, and they wreck. And you see that little bit of metal they got on around them is nothing compared to a NASCAR or a stock car.
Wow.
Of course, this was 20 years ago. I read something that when I used to do the International Race of Champions, Richard Petty, of course, did that, and those guys from overseas, and they couldn't believe that Richard Petty didn't have more broken bones and stuff than he did for the years that he had driven and the number of accidents he had been in.
Mm-hmm.
Because all those IndyCar drivers and all those Formula One guys all had one leg shorter than another one.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Well, anyway, that's the wonderful world of sports, and thank God.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Yeah. No, what's going to happen when they stop you from NASCARing and stop us from going to football games and stuff like that because it's going to be bad for our health or we can't afford it?
Well, what's going to happen is the abuse rate is going to go up, you know, of spousal abuse, men beating their wives.
That's something that I've always wondered about. That when you go to a NASCAR race, you've got 43 teams on the field, basically, and you never have a fight, you never have an argument, you got a lot of people ribbing each other. But you go to a Cleveland game or you go to a Steelers game, and you got people having brawls in the parking lot.
Oh yeah, man, that's called a rivalry. It's just like when you and your brother or your sister used to fight when you were little. It's sibling rivalry. Well, sibling rivalries are nothing but grown-up rivalries just between the brother and the sister. Grown-up rivals are any opposition team or any opposition organization. You know, whether you're a fraternity, sorority, bands.
He wasn't around for Earnhardt and Gordon.
Oh.
Dale Earnhardt?
Yeah, you wasn't around to go to races for that. You want to talk about it?
I was. See?
Jeff, that's Slant 3 and the Rainbow Warrior. The Slant 3 and the Rainbow Warrior. Those fans hated each other.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man, they hated each other. They could not stand Jeff Gordon. They denounced Jeff Gordon. And
is that the lady that came with Jeff Gordon, gay?
Yeah, the gay champagne song. Remember that? Remember that, South Carolina?
Yeah.
All the Gordon, all the Earnhardt fans eating hot dogs and drinking beer, and all the Gordon fans are wearing Armani suits and drinking that gay champagne.
You know what that was going to say? He cracked me up when he said, one thing I could go to, Jeff Gordon's gay. Love that song. Oh, man, these people are crazy.
But I will tell you this. Them boys married some pretty women.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jeff Gordon, a couple of them.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, man.
As a matter of fact, South Carolina, I met Jeffrey Earnhardt this weekend.
He's
a real nice
great,
kid.
Man.
Yeah, he's a real nice kid.
Yeah.
Real nice kid.
But you see, when you get into stuff like that, I mean, you're going to have your element of people that are going to be wild. And then you're going to have your element of people who are just there to have a good time and see the race and enjoy the thrill of, you know, seeing who's going to win and all this other stuff. But
a friend of mine was talking to a state trooper this weekend down in Kentucky, and they have a sprint cup race down there in the spring. And he asked me, "Do you have any trouble?" He says, "Well, last year," and you got to remember, there's 75 to 80,000 people, and probably about two-thirds of those are in the campground around
mm-hmm.
the track.
Yeah.
They had one arrest in the spring race, and it was a drunken disorderly. One arrest, and you had 80,000 people, and anybody that's been to a NASCAR race, there's a lot of beer consumed.
I'm sure. And beer turns into courage.
Yeah. Instant
liquid
donkey,
courage.
Just that alcohol.
Yeah, yeah. Liquid courage. And I saw this brawl. We watched it. We kind of, when the people walked in the room of this one place that my band and I were playing, when we saw the drunk on the face of this one guy, we said, "There's going to be trouble." And we talked to the security guy, and he said, "We think you're right, man, but we can't do anything till something happens." Sure enough, it was 20 minutes later, somebody talked to somebody's girlfriend, and these guys were going at it at the bar.
Wow.
They were throwing things, and I'm up there saying, "I do not want any of this equipment. My horns cost too much money to be getting knocked over or something thrown at it from crazy people fighting." Yeah, we get it. We definitely get it. But
that would be the E Club on a Friday night.
Yeah.
Cracker
yeah.
to get back from the field.
Oh yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, they had a trackers, yeah. The trackers
okay.
and trackers do not like the tankers. Okay? So
right.
when they get in the club, they fight each other. The grunts don't like recon. So they get in a fight and they fight each other. The MPs don't like nobody. If you don't comply,
now,
they just beat your butt.
Now some people can hear me that may know this. I was up in New Hampshire way back in 79 and or 78, excuse me. And when there was a guy that owned this club up there. He was an old retired guy, probably retired mafia out of New York. Name was Mr. Buffalino. Nice club, man. Nice restaurant. They had great, 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 great food there. So we're the Air Force guys. Well, you know, we had right up there in New Hampshire where we're at, we had the Kittery Navy Yard. When them boys come off them ships, they was ready to fight. I don't know what it was. They just wanted to get drunk and fight. They crazy. And they come in there, and we would, you know, I had some good friends, and all of us were pretty strong at that time. And we were able to stop the fights going on, and Mr. Buffalino thought we was the best people in the world. We didn't pay for food. We did have to pay for our drinks. Now, he made us pay for alcohol. But he gave us a huge table that was right in the middle of the dance floor, and that was our table. Couldn't nobody else have our table. And I mean nobody else. And he took care of us, man. He took care of us. But I don't know what it is with folks that just want to fight.
We got kicked out of an Air Force club down at Seymour Johnson. They wouldn't let.
That's Florida, ain't it?
Banned,
no, that's.
That's in North Carolina.
Okay.
They banned the Marines from the Air Force E Club down there.
Understood.
You got to remember, the Air Force is a whole different ball of wax. You know?
Yeah.
They start an Air Force base, they build the club and the golf course, and then they go back to Congress, ask for money for runways. The Marine Corps and the Navy build a base. We put in piers and barracks, and then go back and ask for money for clubs and golf courses, and they tell us there ain't no money left.
Wait a minute. My base in San Antonio, Texas, was a huge golf course.
Hey, everybody I knew in the Navy, if you wanted to play golf, you went to the Air Force base to play golf because there wasn't one at the Navy base, or if it was, it was like the one on Caddyshack. It was full of gopher holes.
Hey, you guys, listen. My Texas guys that listen to me from time to time, Brooks Air Force Base, Texas, was a big country club. That's what it was, man.
And when I first went to Kings Bay, Georgia, we had to call the Marines to drag the gators off the pier so we could go on liberty.
Yeah, I believe you. I worked at was the epidemiology lab. And I worked in forensic toxicology. You know, we did all the lab work on autopsies at the Air Force and maybe some of the other local smaller installations, you know, would use us as a place as well. And it was really a nice experience. But our base was so nice and quiet. Man, we could chill at our base. I mean, we had big fun done. I loved it. I loved my time in the service. There's no doubt about it.
Y'all didn't have PT?
Have what?
On a Marine Corps base, somebody's always PT'ing, man.
Physical training.
Man, once I got out of my phase one training, we didn't exercise nothing. What I did was I played ball all day long. Now, we used to play basketball as much as we could get it in, right? But other than that, we danced. We went to the club.
I think 12-ounce curls was the favorite sport on the Navy base.
There you go.
Wow.
You get that thing. We used to walk around with one finger stuck out because that's what we held our coffee cup with. When we get ready to play it.
Hey, South Carolina, did you have bug juice in the Marine Corps?
Have what now?
Did you call Kool-Aid bug juice in the Marine Corps?
Nah, I don't know what we called it.
Okay,
we didn't have very much of it.
Well, we're going to call this, pay some bills right now. We'll be right back afternoon with Tracy and friends. Y'all crazy, man.
Hello, who's out there?
dictator. And people forget FDR had four terms.
Right.
And up to that point, a president could run for as many terms as he wanted, but they hadn't done it out of respect for George Washington, because George Washington thought that nobody should have more than two terms, and everybody up to FDR just walked away as,
right,
as a term of respect.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, as soon as FDR died, a Democrat-controlled House and a Democrat-controlled Senate passed an amendment to the Constitution and got it through the states to stop a president from doing more than two terms, to stop a possible dictatorship.
Well, you think that now that they have a pretty much dictator, that they might try to reverse this?
Well, I was hoping.
Well, they don't have the House, or they can't.
No, they don't have the House.
Thank God for that.
And they shouldn't. I mean, if we didn't have the 17th Amendment, they wouldn't have the Senate either.
No, understood. Understood.
I mean, we'd have a Republican-controlled House and a Republican-controlled Senate, and I've said this many times. The founders did that because they understood what democracy was, and Ben Franklin said, democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for supper. and
it's a good one.
Be what he may in his other ways, Jefferson being a farmer and Washington being farmers understood that the cities could overrun the countryside in a democratic form of government where the power was given totally to the population centers. And they could turn the rural people into their subjects and serfs, which is what is happening now very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
With now that they've learned how to manipulate the Electoral College.
Well, no doubt about it, and they have done it. And the thing is you have to understand that under this type of government, when you are using everybody's money to take care of everybody else, guess what? You don't have enough other people's money to start taking care of everybody else. So what's going to become necessary is for them to auction, to ration, and they're not only going to ration, but they're going to also keep you from working certain jobs.
Well,
only certain people will be able to work certain jobs.
Well, and not only that, it's human nature. The more you take from somebody, the less they're going to work.
Absolutely.
And so as the taxes get higher to support this socialist utopia that certain people want,
right,
those who work the hardest are going to work less, and they're going to produce less.
This is true.
I mean, that was the thing with the Soviet Union. You know, nobody worked because I didn't get to keep anything, and they didn't start producing. They were starving to death until they finally gave land to the farmers so much. They gave each family like a couple acres. And it turned out when it finally collapsed, the private hands held like 5% of the land, and they were producing 90% of the food.
That's right. Who doesn't get that?
I have no idea. I don't know. You know, our friend Diva, she puts stuff on Facebook, and she seems to think everything's free. And people.
Wait a minute. She said that the control of agriculture is socialist. I said, no, that's price fixing by the government.
Yeah.
Because they control the cost. That's not socialism. But she is.
Well, and I'm for big ag. I'm against big agriculture. But the government has created big agriculture.
Sure they have.
Through their policies, it was either get big or get out for years.
Or
and
get
you
out.
Can ask anybody who's been a farmer for a long time, and that's what it was. It was get big or get out. And it's to the point now for a dairyman, you know, if you're not milking a couple of hundred cows, you can't even get the milk truck to stop and pick up your milk.
Right.
Unless you're Amish.
You better start making cheese.
Yeah.
It's true. Alabama, you're still in. Alex, you're still in as well. And the South, you know you're there. But it is something else, man. I'm going to... People to think like that are not limited to not having educations either. There, a lot of people that are educated believe that that's how things work. And I wonder, where the heck do they get this notion?
I don't think so, Jeff. I think our one friend that talks a lot on Facebook, Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly believe after I talked to you that he understands exactly where this is heading, and that's what he wants because he's in that group that's gonna come out on top.
Oh yeah, he'll be one of the ruling class.
And those people want to Shanghai and lead, played Pied Piper to the people that don't understand
it. Sure, I agree with that 1,000%.
And nothing's gonna scare them more. Nothing scares those people more is a financially independent class in this country.
That's why they don't want you to be. The people that vote primarily Democrat are two people. Your elitist academic people, your teachers, your college professors and things like that. And then you have your everyday people that don't know a doggone thing about government. But they vote because they're union. And the union helped me understand this, and so they go with that. And I'm up there saying, look, they're leading you down a path that's not going to be good for you because even the unions now are balking about Obamacare.
Oh, yeah, they want it repealed too.
Why would they want it changed now? Or do they just want it changed for them?
Well, I think they realized it's going to be such a train wreck that there's not. It's got to be repealed in order to save what they have.
I agree.
What's coming down the line for the American people with health care is so scary. I mean, the very fact that the IRS is going to have access to your health records. And my wife tells me now in 2015 or 2016, her plan is going to require you take a blood test for nicotine. And if they find out you're smoking, they're going to raise your rate $4,000.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Afford that. See, that's what I'm saying. It's
and,
not
and,
affordable
and not
care.
And not only that, they're going to do a body mass index on you, and if you're over 30%, they're going to surcharge it.
Surcharge.
And I hate to tell you this. You've seen my wife?
Okay.
You know what my wife's body mass index is?
No.
29.
Really?
Yeah.
She's not big enough to be not. Yeah.
Hey, Jeff. You know, that puts a lot of us brothers out in the cold. you start talking BMI, man, and that's crazy. I mean, I don't know if you had it in the Air Force, but I know that in the Marine Corps and the Navy they had these height weight charts, and you had to fit in a certain height and weight, or else they put you on weight control or personal appearance.
Yep. Remember the greater than 22% club. Remember that? The greater than 22% club. Or 26%. Was it?
Yeah.
By the measurement system that they use and the way they use to assess body or your body fat, okay, the most I could weigh was 188 pounds. I weighed 211 and had a body fat of 2.9%. But I was still overweight and had to go on weight control and personal appearance. You just wait.
Yeah, I remember when we were. I mean, we fought that war for a lot of years, and they finally ended up. You could challenge that and get the water test. Remember that?
Yeah. Yep.
But it took years. I mean, we had guys that were going to captain's mess. We had guys that were being denied promotion.
I'm sure.
And they were weightlifters. I mean, it was stupid.
Sure, I'm sure.
And that's how socialized medicine works in a way.
Yeah, because the military is socialized medicine because, you know, the military has to
one size fits all.
Your government issue. So, you know, and believe you me, I worked in the hospitals in the military, y'all, and I was not impressed. In fact, when I came home, that's when I went to the doctor or the hospital if I had to get something done. And, you know, I was able to do that, too.
I'll never forget. All submariners lose their wisdom teeth.
Mm-hmm.
They take them before you ever go to sea the first time.
Wow.
I had this old Captain Dennis, rank was captain. He thought he numbed me, put his foot in the middle of my chest, and when they wouldn't come out, he was in there with a chisel and a hammer. And they finally came out in pieces. And you just sat there and you took it because he was a captain and you
were
a seaman. You was an E3.
True story. I was on the basketball team of my base, and I'm not going to say which base this was. I was at five of them, so that's okay. Okay, now, I'm on the basketball team. Now, this dentist could not play basketball. He was big and tall, but he could not play basketball. So I had to get a root canal. And so, of course, it's my luck of the draw. I, who was a starter, had to go to this guy to get my tooth root canal. Well, he did the root canal on a Friday and did not get the whole root out. All weekend, that the little bit of root that was left, man, I drank whiskey. I drank everything in the world that I could drink. It didn't do no good, man. I was just, and I was wide awake till Monday morning. And before they got there at 7, I was sitting there at 6:30 waiting for them to come open up the clinic. So I got in there, and he said, well, let me take a look at it then. And he did not numb me. He went, he took that little, you know, a little round thing to go, twist down in there, and he didn't twist it. He jammed it down there and pulled it back out. I hauled off and I punched him right in his face. I punched the captain. He was the captain. I should have been in jail, but I think he just got a vent because he didn't get the start. He was bigger than everything. I got to go, man. I'm telling these stories.
See y'all later.
Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to have Prophetess Pam with us for a little while tomorrow. And so we will see what's going on in the world and what we think is going on prophetically. We'll see you later. God bless. Have a great day. And Stick, say something good while I change my screen here.
We're going to... You guys have a good week.
Hey,
good week. Monday.
Good.
It's Monday.
Yeah, Monday. See you later.
Avoid the rush and listen to us. Tune in to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, weekdays noon to 3 on News Talk 600. We cover the local and national issues that affect you and your community. Get talking to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on News Talk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at